Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband and ancient tales.
Oh, right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here, hint, hint, until 5 a.m., as I am every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows this show at 5 with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. I believe Steve, though, is not in this morning. I mean, he's on his way to Prague, right?
That should be correct.
Yeah. For the Hawks.
Justin Kaufman will be sitting in
Justin
for Steve
will be sitting in. So Justin will be sitting in for the next couple of days while Steve and a bunch of WGN listeners are heading off to Prague to see the Hawks play the Flyers on Friday. So that should be fun. And speaking of Hawks, let me just tell you what's happening on the show this morning. The NHL kicks off this week, so all will be right with the world. Everybody on Earth will be happy again because hockey season has begun. So in honor of that, we're going to have another visit from our good friend Rick Geezer. He is the guy who is the purveyor of all sports songs things. Sports songs are songs that are recorded by athletes or managers or coaches, anybody involved in sports, be it on a collegiate level or a professional level. He just collects these songs that are sung by sports figures, and then we play them, and they're a lot of fun. And we are going to do a special hockey edition of sports songs this morning. It's always a blast when Rick comes in. We listen to some of the songs are surprisingly good, some are terrible, some are hilarious. So we're going to do the hockey edition of sports songs in honor of the NHL starting this week, and he'll be in just a few minutes. And we will listen to some really great hockey edition sports songs. By the way, if you have any suggestions for Rick, because he's always looking for new sports songs, not just hockey, he's always looking for any sports-related song. And if you guys know of any or heard of any, you can call us up or text us at 312-981-7200. So that will be happening this morning. Also, yesterday marked the 52nd anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over for The Tonight Show. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know how much I love Johnny Carson. You know how I love the Johnny Carson reruns, which you can see on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m. This stuff is just classic. The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson is just classic stuff. I love it. And, you know, there's the stuff that they show on Antenna TV, the classic 70s and 80s Johnny Carson stuff. It's shown every night at 10 p.m., and you should watch it. It's just great on Antenna TV. And I love Johnny Carson. I adore him. And so since he took over for this anniversary, he took over for The Tonight Show back 52 years ago. We'll talk about that historic moment. And then we're just going to talk about Johnny Carson, some of the greatest sketches, some of the greatest moments. We'll play a bunch of audio back. We'll talk about some of the best guests, some of the weirdest moments. And we'll talk about some of the greatest recurring characters and bits that they did on the show. Johnny Carson was really he was the king. He was the best, and so we'll celebrate the fact that yesterday he took over on the Tonight Show and had an absolutely legendary run as the host of the Tonight Show. And again, those reruns can be seen on Antenna TV. You should watch those weeknights at 10. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. And that is you picking all the bumps every single morning. The theme this morning is Wild Card Wednesday, which means it's any song, any artist, anything you want. So start sending in your requests now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. Also, Know Your Onion. Yes, after the 4:30 news, as we do every Wednesday morning, Tom is your host. We play a little game called Know Your Onion. We get two listeners on the line separately, and they will each play a round of Know Your Onion separately. And Know Your Onion is this. Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to figure out whether it's actually real or whether it's an from The Onion, which is a satirical newspaper that writes funny fake news stories. But because the news is so weird now and the real world is just so completely insane, it's getting very difficult to tell the difference between a real news headline and something that you see in the satirical newspaper, The Onion. So we're playing a little round of Know Your Onion. He reads the headline. You say whether you think it's real or from The Onion, and you win prizes. Nobody goes home empty-handed, and we do this every Wednesday morning at 4:30, and we will do it again. Know Your Onion coming up later this morning. So that's what's up on the show this morning. If you ever want to get a hold of us or be a part of it, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk, text, and Wildcard Wednesday requests. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast. Lots and lots of people do, and we thank you for that. And we would love you to do that. It's easy. It's simple. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Every single second of every single show is podcast early and are posted early in the morning right after the show. And you can subscribe. It's free. And it will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So subscribe to our podcasts right now. It's easy, and it's free. So let's say hello to my great producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad.
Okay, so last night, October 1st.
Yes.
You started your Halloween fest here, where you're going to watch a horror movie each night for the entire month.
Mm-hmm.
And you started with the original Nosferatu.
Yes, F.W. Murnau,
yeah.
and starring Max Schreck.
Yep.
And it is still pretty freaky to this day. It's not as obviously not as scary as it was back in the 1920s,
right.
But for being what it is, and I got to watch a beautiful restoration of it that really, I can't believe that they were able to make it look this good, nearly 100 years old,
yeah.
And it looks beautiful for what it is. Yeah, it was spectacular. My girlfriend wasn't super into it. She was like, this is okay, but
yeah.
I was thrilled, and you know, it's still one of the best adaptations of Dracula, despite
yeah.
being unauthorized in every
yes.
way.
yeah, absolutely. But it's great. It's obviously just it's an absolute classic, and so Tom is going to be watching a horror movie every night this month in honor of Halloween month. And by the way, speaking of Halloween month and all the Halloween stuff, I'm going to bust out Monday morning is when I'm going to bust out, the scary sound CD, and we'll get our first visit from, Fartula, Count Fartula and Fartenstein. I already got a request from Adam. Adam Phillips is here. He's like, when does Fartenstein and Count Fartula come out? You know, he saved Fartenstein's life.
He saved Fartenstein.
Oh yeah. You don't know this?
No.
Okay. Fartenstein wasn't working. The idea is what you do is, you know, it's a soft plush like Frankenstein monster doll. He's cute and he's plush, and you squeeze his hand and he farts. He says something and farts. Well, something happened to the device where you would squeeze his hand, like there's a little sort of like button inside that inside Fartenstein's plush hand, and I pressed it and pressed it and pressed it and it just didn't work. So Adam rewired the whole thing. He rewired it. Gave Fartenstein a little button that you can press outside of his body. And so he basically is Dr. Frankenstein. Adam is Dr. Frankenstein. He brought this dead fart. He brought the Fartenstein monster back to life, rewired him, and put a button on there so that you can hit the button and still get the wisecrack and the fart. So he brought Fartenstein back to life. So we thank Adam for that. But yeah, he brought him back to life, rewired him, and everything. So
he became
he's a
doctor. Dr. Frankenstein.
He's a Dr. Fartenstein, yeah. So and then Count Fartula will come out, and we'll do all that. So that'll be so we'll start that officially on Monday, and we'll bust out some Halloween stuff throughout the entire month after that. So there you go. All right, in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Doing very well. You know, Tom was the only one that watched some horror last night. Jeannie had the Brewers game on.
For those people who don't know. Vic lives with his partner Jeannie, and she happens to be from Wisconsin and is a Green Bay mm-hmm. fan and a Brewers fan, and the Brewers blew it.
She looked pretty horrified through the end there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You got to give her a little grief. She gave you grief.
Yeah, I went to bed before the game ended, so the grief will officially be handed out in the morning.
In the morning
when
you get home.
Her.
Yeah,
but,
when you
yeah.
get home in the morning. Make sure you give her a little jab.
I will do that, sir.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And make sure you emphasize the fact that a team from Walgreens beat them.
Okay.
That's the Walgreens baseball team beat them. So,
yep.
Yeah, and they had a three. They were up 3-0.
I know. That's what kind of hurt her.
Yeah. Listen. I mean, you know, I got to say, you know, after the run that they had in September, that's kind of heartbreaking. That's a really abrupt and sad way to end the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Harmon was talking about it on his show, and he had a good point to do that well in September like the Brewers did.
Especially without their star player.
Yelich.
Yeah.
And they did well without him.
Yeah, they did.
But then to have it go all like that in one little wild card game, you know, it's kind of, that hurts.
It does. But still, give her some grief.
I will do that.
All right. There's Vic.
I feel fine.
I'm sure you do. All right. Vic is in the newsroom. He'll be there all morning long, and Tom is producing, and I am your host. It is the Nick DiGilio Show for a Wednesday morning. Get your onion knowledge out there, because I know your onion is coming up later on the show. We're going to reminisce and talk a lot about Johnny Carson the day after his fantastic debut as the host of The Tonight Show. So there you go. That's all coming up on the show. 312-981-7200. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, live in studio, Rick Gieser is going to join us with a special hockey edition of Sports Songs. That's right here on 720 WGN. Singing in French, which can only mean one thing. It has to have something to do with hockey. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6. Justin Kaufman filling in for him because Steve is on his way to Prague. And he's on his way to Prague to watch the Hawks play in their opener against the Flyers. And NHL hockey begins this week. So that makes me a very, very happy man. especially after this Cubs season. I need my Hawks to come back. I need to see some hockey. And that'll begin. So in honor of the NHL season kicking off, we always love to have Rick Gieser in. Rick is the guy who is the man who runs Sports Songs. You can check out sportssongs.com. They also have a Facebook page and some podcasts here at WGNRadio.com. And we want to do a special hockey edition of Sports Songs. So Rick is here. Hi, Rick.
So light him up.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
There you go. How you doing?
Excellent.
Good, good, good. Tell everybody about Sports Songs.
Sports Songs are any songs. You did a great job earlier. Any song performed by an athlete, coach, broadcaster, anyone involved in the world of sports, even some refs and umps have put out songs.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, all the years that you've been guesting on my show and bringing in all these songs, it's always amazing to me, every time you visit, just how many sports songs there are. Because I think, you know, for years, a lot of people just thought, oh, it's the Super Bowl shuffle, and that's about it. But that's not the case.
No, it's not the case at all. And that is the common belief. Most people don't think there's that many of them until you remind them that the Shaquille O'Neals, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then you start mentioning a few other things. Oh, I remember that. I remember that. But there are thousands.
Yeah,
thousands
absolutely.
And thousands.
And you're always looking for new ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So people can check out the Facebook page at Sports Songs.
They can. SportsSongs.com on Facebook.
Okay. There you go. So hockey season is beginning. And I'm very excited. I have high hopes for the Hawks this season.
We all do. That's
this
time of year.
Absolutely. I do. And I mean, I love hockey. It's my favorite. And so I always look forward to this time of year. But there's an interesting story here. Wednesday night hockey is going to be has a little agreement now, a partner agreement with Green Day, with rock band Green Day.
Well, it seems like every sport needs to find a pop star to hang out with.
I guess.
The NFL is now doing stuff with Jay-Z.
Right.
NHL goes, heck, we got to jump in on this.
And we got to get some Green Day going. So Wednesday Night Hockey is getting an assist. See how they wrote this?
Ooh.
You see how that's clever at Forbes.com they are about this? NHL Hockey is getting an assist this season from one of the biggest bands of the last 30 years. On Monday, the NHL announced that it has inked a two-year agreement with Green Day. The partnership kicks off on October 9th, a week from tonight, with the debut of a new song, Fire Ready Aim, which will be featured on NBCSN's Wednesday night hockey broadcasts on NHL on NBC. Green Day is the perfect fit, is the perfect band for the NHL, said NHL Chief Content Officer and Executive Vice President Steve Mayer. Their music fits so perfectly with the energy, speed, and power that we witness on the ice and each and every night. Wow. We are so excited to start this partnership with NBC Sports Open. It was so much fun to shoot, and we think our fans will love it. Fire Ready Aim and other songs from Green Day's forthcoming album, Father of All, Ellipses, will also be featured in other NHL broadcasts, digital and in-arena content. In addition, the band will headline the 2020 NHL All-Star Game in St. Louis next January, ahead of the schedule of their release of Father of All in February. Fire Ready Aim will debut on Wednesday Night Hockey on October 9th, 1 week after the St. Louis Blues kick off their new season by raising their Stanley Cup banner to the rafters of the Enterprise Center on opening night. I didn't want to really read that sentence. St. Louis Blues raising their banner. Anyway.
They're going to play something snotty like Longview or something like some of their old songs, or just more, they're more...
I think it sounds to me like they're promoting big time Father of All Ellipses. Exactly. That's what it sounds like. Okay, so we got, is this the song? This is Ready. We have a little bit of Fire Ready Aim. This is Green Day partnering with the NHL, and this will debut next week on Wednesday Night Hockey.
Hockey on NBCSN.
Oh, wow. All right. Was that Doc? Was that Doc Emmerich there at the beginning?
I believe it may have been.
It sounded like Doc.
You know, Doc listens to my show. I don't know if you know that or not.
Rick. Hi, Doc.
He listens to my show.
He's in Czechoslovakia.
Exactly. He mentioned me on the air during an interview one time.
Really?
Yeah, do you happen to have that? He was being interviewed on the air.
So Craig Ferguson's mentioned
yes.
you and yeah. Doc Emmerich.
Yeah, and Doc Emmerich, who, as you know, preeminent hockey, I mean, the man, the best in the business. And who was interviewing him? I can't remember who was interviewing. Was it...
It may have been Troy. I don't know.
I can't remember who he was. He is a huge WGN fan. That's what I'm
fan.
Saying. But he was being interviewed by someone here at GN, and I can't remember who it is, and I feel terrible for not knowing it. But this is the mention. I almost freaked out because my phone started to go nuts. Like, people were texting me and go, do you realize that Doc Emmerich just mentioned you? Vince Maranto was the first one to actually contact me. Because, Vince is a maniac Hawks fan. And so he immediately said, Doc Emmerich just name-dropped you. And I was like, what? And then I heard it and my head almost exploded. Let's hear that.
How does Nick come up with things to say at 2 o'clock in the morning?
There it is. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Yeah, because they were talking about, we know that you like WGN and that you listen all the time. And then he name-dropped me. That was Doc Emmerich.
That's excellent.
Doc Emmerich said my name. Okay. So anyway, there you go. Green Day's album comes out in February. That's pretty cool that they're going to be part of the All-Star game.
I think that'll be great.
Yeah,
I think fans will like it. I think their music is upbeat enough. It'll work. They'll be able to cut it. So, you have checks to the beat.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I love the NHL All-Star game. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun. I like the rules how they changed the rules up a couple of years ago. But my favorite part is the skills competition.
The skills competition
is
amazing.
It's a blast. It's a blast. Every year it's just a blast. So it's so
when
much fun.
When they had the woman Olympian Kendall in
last year.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of fun. The Saturday, because the game is always on a Sunday.
Right.
But the Saturday is when they do the skills competition, and I'm just camped out in front of my TV for that whole night. So, all right. Well, there it is. Green Day is partnering up with the NHL for Wednesday Night Hockey, so you can hear some Green Day throughout the season for the next couple of years, actually. And NHL begins this week. So in honor of that, Rick is here. Where do you want to start with our hockey-themed sports songs?
Why don't we start with one of the superstars of the NHL currently? We'll go to track 7. Alexander Ovechkin, producer Tom Hush, was like, I can't wait to hear. What was this all about? Well, this came out in 2012.
Yeah.
He raps. in Russian.
Yes, he does.
On a song called Champions, and it's a song by a Russian star, Sasha Belyai.
Yeah.
And this is pretty amazing stuff.
It's great, Tom. It's great. Alexander Ovechkin, here we go.
Из Вашингтона, Александр Овечкин!
Воспитанник Динамо, восьмерка на спине, в матчах всех звезд. Внимание на мне, 17 лет в сборной, 100 очков за сезон, золото в Канаде. В 2008-м, десятки лучших игроков, за 10 лет в моих руках клюшка, в моих наушниках рэп. Передаю привет прямо из Вашингтона, вместе с Саней Белым для каждого чемпиона.
Yeah. Well, there it is right there. A little bit of Alexander Ovechkin rapping.
What'd you think, Tom?
Not too bad. Yeah. Good flow, you know?
Yeah.
Feeling the beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was at a preseason game a few years ago. I was lucky enough to sit in the the seats between the two benches.
Oh, nice.
And it's
called a penalty box.
Well, well, you're next to the bench. Yes. It feels like a penalty box, but you're there. And they were playing the Caps at the time. And my friend Benji and I had the seats. The management was kind enough. They were like, "Hey, the seats are open tonight. Do you want to do it?" Those are usually the ones that are auctioned off, you know, right, during the regular season. And at one point, Ovechkin was standing. I was like, literally, the glass was right here next to me. And Ovechkin was standing probably 2 feet away from me with his back to me, and I couldn't see the play, you know, at the end of the ice. I was trying to watch the play at the end of the ice, and I was so tempted to like bang on the glass and go, "Hey, Ovechkin, sit down. I'm trying to watch the game."
how hard was that for you to prevent yourself, since they were tickets you were kind enough to receive, to go, "You suck, Ovechkin."
Yeah. Well, no, I like him. That's the thing. I think he's a great player.
He is a great player, but when he's against your team.
He's against my team and blocking my view. Exactly. Like, I couldn't see down the end of the ice, but I saw, like, Ovechkin's back in front of me, like, 2 feet. But he can rap. So
he does indeed.
Okay. All right, Rick, hang on, okay?
Let's do it.
Rick Geezer is with us. We're going to break for the news when we come back. More of the hockey-themed sports songs right here on 720 WGN, 1-800-312-981-720. Everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here, high above downtown Chicago on a Wednesday morning. Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Get your requests in now. It's one artist, any song, any artist, anything. 312-981-7200. Yesterday was the 52nd anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over for The Tonight Show, so we're going to talk all things Carson this morning. Celebrate the greatest moments, some of the audio that we'll listen to, some of the best recurring jokes and bits, and the best guests. So big fan, as you know, of Johnny Carson. You can watch the Johnny Carson shows, the Tonight shows, the classic ones, on Antenna TV on weeknights at 10, and it's just great stuff. So there you go. Know Your Onion a little bit later on as well. Rick Geezer is with us, and hockey season is kicking off, so we thought we'd have Rick in to celebrate it with some hockey sports songs. Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much. That was Frank Pelico were just hearing.
The best.
The organist for the Blackhawks, formerly with the Cubs.
Yeah, with the Cubs. And
will he be coming back to the Cubs?
That's the question. That's vacant right now, so we don't know. We don't know. But no, Frank Pelico, that's the very distinctive sound.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, if you go to the UC to see a Hawks game, get there early and listen to the beautiful sounds of Frank Pelico.
Oh yeah. That came from an album from 1977 he put out called Touching.
Fantastic.
Touching the keys.
Touching the keys.
Touching our heart.
Exactly. All right, it is hockey season beginning this week, so we got more sports songs, hockey-related. Where do you want to go next, Rick?
Let's go to track 368. Now, this is a song about sports, but it's not a song performed by an athlete. But I wanted to play this because the gentleman who sings this is a big hockey fan, Canadian, became a big celebrity in the United States, and then he also wrote a couple songs we'll play right after it featuring hockey players.
Right.
So this is from a gentleman going by the name AJ Thick in 1969. This is his debut single for, everyone knows, Alan Thick.
Yeah.
And it's a hockey song called The Wondrous Bobby Orr.
So this is Alan Thick.
His debut single in 1969.
Wow. Okay, here we go.
All right. Yeah. Listen to the story now. Wondrous Bobby, wondrous ways. Wondrous all-star when he plays. Born to be the nation's craze. Wondrous Bobby, wondrous ways. He'll play a tune loud and long. With a stick that can do no wrong. Snare a pass, cruising by. Zip right in and let it fly. Precision plays can be found. And the praise is all around. He's got class and he's got speed. He's got all the Bruins need. Wondrous Bobby, wondrous ways. Wondrous all-star when he plays. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah. Ho, ho. Listen to me, sport fans. Name the goalie and he'll shine. With a blazer to the twine. Born for stardom, born to be great. He was born to determine the beam town fate.
Yeah. Oh, the late, great Alan Thick.
Alan Thick?
Yeah.
Sounds like he was listening to a little of the Guess Who.
It does sound like that,
doesn't
and that
it?
Would be the same time
yeah.
period. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I like to get the fuzz guitar there.
Oh, it's very hip.
Very, very cool. All right, yeah. So that's Alan Thick, and that was his debut. He was billed as AJ Thick on
that? AJ Thick at that point.
And then he would go on to, as we all know, he ended up writing a ton of songs, a ton of jingles.
Theme songs. Facts of Life,
yeah.
The one with different strokes. Yes.
And then of course he went on to become a star in sitcoms.
Exactly.
And of course host Thick of the Night.
Thick of the Night.
Tom, do you remember Thick of the Night?
What?
It was a late night talk show.
It was a late night talk show.
Yeah, he was competing with our good friend Johnny Carson, who we will
You're
be discussing later. No, Thick of the Night.
Thick of the Night.
Yeah, look it up, man. Look
oh,
it up.
Boy,
Thick of the Night. But anyway, he ended up writing a bunch of songs, and some of which were performed by...
Hockey player. In 1979, so
yeah.
10 years later, he wrote a couple songs. It was a double-sided single, and it was to raise money for juvenile diabetes.
Uh-huh.
The first song we'll play is track 10.
Okay.
And it is by the legendary Phil Esposito.
Oh.
And he put out a song called The Hockey Sock Rock. And written by none other than hockey fan Alan Thick.
This is written by Alan Thick, The Hockey Sock Rock by the great Phil Esposito. Here we go.
Throw down your stick, take off your gloves, grab that sweater and you're ready for love. It's the hockey sock rock. It's the hockey sock rock. Don't think twice, honey, break the ice. You gotta come and do the hockey sock rock. I met a little girl and we danced all night. I didn't get her home until about midnight. Her daddy was so mad he nearly clobbered me. How was I to know he was a referee? We did the hockey sock rock. It's the hockey sock rock. What do you think? Boogie down to the rink. You gotta come and do the hockey sock rock. Everybody's dancing to the hockey rock sound. Come on, get up, break away, get down. Pull on your socks, don't need no shoes. Slip and slide away those blues. And do the hockey sock rock. It's the hockey sock rock.
Did the hockey sock rock ever catch on?
People added it here or there. It was never that popular.
It wasn't like the twist or anything?
No, not at all. But on that same single, on the flip side, was another song by another Hall of Famer.
Which, by the way, you are holding in your hand.
I'm holding the 45.
You actually have the 45 with the picture sleeve and everything, and it's fantastic. All right, what's on the flip side again?
It is by Marcel Dion and the Pucktones, and it's a song called Please Forgive My Misconduct Last Night.
Oh man, I totally...
That's track 11.
No, it is. I totally forgot about this one. First of all, please forgive my misconduct.
Hashtag me too.
Oh, my God. All right. Here we go.
Blew the whistle. You didn't think twice. You threw me out. You're cold as ice. You gotta believe me. I was out of control. I'll never break the rules again, cause you're my only goal. Just a little forward, and you went on your dance. Please forgive my misconduct last night. Last night.
Wow.
You got me for holding.
Yeah, you got me for holding.
And I took my very best shot.
Uh-huh. What was Alan Thicke thinking?
He was thinking, somebody's paying me to write a hockey song.
Jeez.
Let's see how corny we can get.
I love the fact that the word misconduct is in there because it's such a frequently used term in hockey, and then suddenly it's part of a song.
Right. Well, a lot of people throughout the 70s, they were creating songs that, they used hockey terms, but then they also were kind of referring to love and all that. And do we have time for one right here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't we go to track 9 then? In 1975, Dave Schultz, the legendary enforcer the Broad Street Bullies, they won the championships, of course, the Stanley Cup in 74 and 75. He put out a song called The Penalty Box.
Right.
So why don't we see how that relates to love?
Here we go.
Flyers penalty on number 8, Dave Schultz. 2 minutes for hooking, 2 minutes for roughing, 5 minutes for fighting, and a 10-minute misconduct.
Baby, how long will you keep me in the penalty box? Baby, I'm wrong, but it's lonely in the penalty box. I know I broke the rules, but rules are broken by fools. Baby, how long will you keep me in the penalty box? Love is like an ice hockey game. Sometimes it can be rough. Girl, you got me so all aflame. I never, never get enough. Got me charging and cooking, holding and hooking, and then you blow the whistle on me. When you gonna let me go free? Don't you know how slow go the penalty clocks with their tickety-tocks in the penalty box? I know I'm you mad.
Yeah, you did. That's why you're in the penalty box. Dave Schultz. Good Lord. Wow. All right. That's good. That's good. That's glad I've heard that one before. And these are pretty much all new to Tom, by the way. The way he's reacting.
You've opened my eyes to a whole new world of sports theme songs and I think I might start using that penalty box thing at home. That's it. 2 minutes in the penalty box.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more before we break.
Okay, well, why don't we play the flip side to Dave Schultz? It's on track 370. On the flip side of that 45, he put out a song that it's vastly different sounding. It's called Your Way's Right for You. And let's see what people think about this. We've never played this before.
Oh, this
I decided to add this. A penalty box is so classic. But I thought, let's go to the other side and see what people think of that.
Once again,
Your Way's Right for You.
By enforcer Dave Schultz. Here we go.
Your days are ahead.
Terrible.
It's particularly terrible. It's not even fun.
It is just kind of really terrible. But I guess they were shooting for, what year was this?
75.
That makes total sense. Because they were shooting for sort of the R&B sound of that mid-70s
period.
Right.
And
they
again,
were shooting for the Fly Jams.
Philadelphia,
yeah. That's right. Yeah, okay, there you go. That was really bad.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Dave Scholl's trying his hand at Philadelphia soul and not working out real well. All right. We're going to take a break. Rick, hang on, okay?
Okay.
Rick Geezer is with us. Hockey season starts this week, and as a result, we are doing a special hockey-themed sports song edition, and we'll get back to it after this on 720 WGN. More of the fantastic sounds of the great Frank Pellico.
Frank Pellico from 1977's Touching.
There it is. You can hear him play at the UC for every Hawks game. How's it going, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You may Wildcard Wednesday. Get to that a little bit later on. We're going to pay tribute to the great Johnny Carson. Yesterday was the 52nd anniversary of him taking over for The Tonight Show and having a spectacular, as we know, brilliant run. So we're going to do a lot of Johnny Carson stuff this morning, and we want to hear from you. Also coming up, the Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. That was Frank Pellico. Again, we are also doing right now, Rick Geezer is with us because the NHL kicks off this week, and we thought we would do a hockey version of sports songs. Now, you were telling me off the air, and you showed me a black and white picture. Maybe we can take a picture of that and have that for our page or for the podcast page. This is a fantastic picture of the great one, Wayne Gretzky. He looks like he's about 16 there.
He was very young. It was from the 70s.
Yeah.
He was appearing on a CBC program, The Paul Anka Show.
Right.
And on that show, he sang a song called, it was a parody, a hockey parody to the song
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Okay, that's what he did at Paul Anka.
He did on The Paul Anka Show.
Okay.
I've been looking for that video.
So it's Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Hockey Players.
Exactly.
All right. So it's Wayne Gretzky singing it. That's the Paul Anka Show on the CBC. If anybody has a line on that,
contact me or contact the show here.
Yeah.
Contact Tom or Nick.
Yeah, at 312-981-7200. This is Wayne Gretzky, and this was in the 70s.
This is in the 70s. At the same time, he also appeared on, we talked about Alan Thicke earlier.
Yeah.
Alan Thicke had a CBC program,
and
he did a parody to The Devil Went Down to Georgia, The Devil Went Down to the NHL.
Yeah.
And on the Alan Thicke Show. So I'd love to find that video as well.
Okay, so those are we're putting the APB out on that. The Devil Went Down to Be a Hockey Player, or Mama, Don't Let Your Kids Grow Up to Be Hockey Players. Paul Anka Show, Alan Thicke Show, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, with a fantastic suit on, and he does appear to be singing in this black and white photo, with his very 70s feathered, parted down the middle hair, which is pretty spectacular. All right, well,
see what we can do.
See if we can find it anywhere. He's been looking all over the place for it and can't find it. So there we go. Okay, where do you want to go next for our next tune?
Why don't we go to track 383? And this, I love this. It was a whole album by the legendary Hall of Famer Guy Lafleur. He put out an instructional album, hockey instruction in French. to a disco beat. At the beginning of the show, we played a song from that, or a portion of a song from that.
Did you say, I'm sorry, what number did you say?
383.
383.
Yeah, okay. And we're going to play two songs, 383, then 384, because then after the success in Canada, he put out an English language version as well.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to hear the same song twice, but in French and in English. Do we have the time for
we
that?
We do, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So why don't we listen to the French version? This is, I don't speak French, but it translates to scoring.
Scoring. So, Guy Lafleur.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Ton lancer, il faut que tu saches quand t'en servir. Il est important de toujours te fixer une cible quand tu pratiques tes lancers. C'est en fermant ou en ouvrant ta palette que tu peux vraiment contrôler tes lancers. Pour viser bas, baisse ta palette. Et pour lancer haut, remonte-la. N'oublie pas que tes lancers du revers sont toujours plus difficiles à cause de la courbure du bâton. Tu attaques le gardien de but, tu ne dois jamais garder la rondelle devant toi parce qu'il sait que tu ne peux pas lancer dans cette position-là. D'un coup d'œil, il anticipe ta manœuvre, soit de feindre de lancer, soit de faire une passe, puis il recule. Il ne faut jamais que tu lui laisses savoir ce que tu vas faire. C'est déjà assez difficile de compter un but sans céder un avantage supplémentaire au gardien. Donc, pousse toujours la rondelle à côté de toi.
Right.
Il ne pourra pas deviner ton intention.
So this is just him telling you how to play hockey.
Exactly. Well, you wouldn't know that unless you speak French, but why don't we check out the English language version at 384 and find out what he has to say. Maybe we'll even find out what the background singers have to
say. Yeah, let's find out. Guy Lafleur, now this is in English.
Once you have mastered a good shot, you must learn when to use it. It's important when you practice your shots to always shoot towards the target. Control of any shot comes from a close or open blade. To keep the shot low, close the blade. And to shoot it high, all you have to do is open the blade. Remember that backhand shots are more difficult because of the curved stick. When attacking a goaltender, never carry the puck in front of you because he knows you cannot shoot from that position. The goalie takes one look. He reads deke or pass, and he backs up. Don't tell him what you're gonna do. Don't give him the additional advantage. Scoring goals is tough enough without giving the goalie the edge. Carry the puck beside you. Now you have him guessing. Then, if the goalie backs up to the crease, shoot. If he stays out, deke. The attacker always has to react to the goalie's position.
That's pretty fantastic.
This is why freedom of
that's pretty fantastic. Just the idea of just having, you know, you know what? Let's have him give advice, but have a disco background.
Well, I brought the LP with the with the French version, and it comes with a booklet,
right?
And it has
a booklet. It shows you plays and all that stuff. I've seen this is classic stuff. I've seen this one. You brought this down before. We've actually taken a picture with that. With that one. But yeah, that's pretty great. I like it. Yes, you can do it. You know you can do it. Deek, 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 deek. Wow. That's pretty special, man. All right. That's Guy Lafleur. And again, if anybody has a lead on those two appearances on CBC TV, Paul Anka Show, and the Alan Thicke Show with Wayne Gretzky singing Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Hockey Players and the Devil Went Down to the NHL. If you got any leads on them at all, contact us or contact Rick, and you can text us or whatever at 312-981-7200. Rick, hang on, okay?
Certainly.
Yes, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more hockey sports songs. And again, if you've got a lead on that fantastic song, those two fantastic songs. And again, this picture of Wayne Gretzky, you're going to want to check it out. We'll post it when the podcasts are posted. We'll make sure we post the picture of Wayne Gretzky belting out what seems to be a very fantastic tune. So, all right. So we'll take a break. We come back. The news is after this, and then we'll come back with more sports songs right here on 720 WGN. And the news is just coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5. It is Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Yesterday marked the 52nd anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over for The Tonight Show, so we are going to celebrate that and talk about Johnny Carson. Play some great audio, talk about his best guests, his best bits, the most memorable moments, the great Johnny Carson. And again, you can check out Johnny Carson's show on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m., and I highly recommend you do that. Know Your Onion coming up. This is when Tom is your host. It happens after the 4:30 news, and we'll get two contestants in, two first two callers. They'll each play their own round separately, and Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to guess whether or not that's a real headline or an onion headline. Because the news is so crazy, sometimes it's hard to see whether it's to guess whether it's a real headline or an onion headline. So that's all coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, Wildcard Wednesday requests, and more. Right now, though, we are back. Hockey season begins this week. And so in honor of that, we're having another visit with our good friend Rick Geezer, who is the man who has all the sports songs. And we're doing hockey-themed sports songs right here. And here is Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Who were we listening to on the way back from
that
the news?
That was the legendary Al Malgard, yeah. Organist for the Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
And that was from an album called Al Malgard at the Chicago Stadium Organ, part of the High Fidelity Sound Series,
yeah.
From 1958.
Some beautiful pictures there, too, of that organ, the legendary organ. That's a great-looking album. Now, where do you get some of these things? Talk a little bit about that. I know you like garage sales online, stuff
well,
like that.
This one, I've had for a while. I got that from an online auction,
mm-hmm.
but I paid pretty good price for it.
Yeah.
But then about 2 weeks ago, I went to a local library sale, and they were getting rid of a lot of records,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to pick it up again for a dollar.
Oh.
In really good condition, in equally good condition.
Than the one that you already had.
And I also picked up a beautiful album of Franklin McCormick.
Oh.
The legendary WGN host.
Yeah.
And the Meisterbrow showcase or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Doing his recitations.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. But you do, but you're always looking. And,
always looking.
And because, you've been doing this for longer before social media and the internet was as crazy and ubiquitous as it is now. So now it must be a little bit easier for you to find stuff.
It is, but then also people are always looking for the odd things. So sometimes you get priced out of things just because it's
right
because there is an oddity quotient to
right.
it.
Right. So. All right. Hockey, sports songs. Where do you want to go next?
Okay. Why don't we go to track 18? We're going to play. Play another song by him probably later today, and if you listen at Christmas time, we'll definitely play the song on our Christmas appearance.
That's right.
This is Johnny Bower,
yes,
the Hall of Fame goalie for the Maple Leafs, and in 1965 he put out a 45 on Capitol Records in Canada. The A side is the legendary song "Honky the Christmas Goose,"
which I believe Tom is not familiar with.
You're not familiar with
Honky?
No.
Well, we'll play a little later. We'll play a portion of that.
We're going to play a little bit of it later on, but when Rick comes back for the Christmas version of sports songs. We play. We end that show with "Honky the Christmas Goose." It's a Christmas tradition.
The full version.
The full.
So everyone
the full
can hear
song. Everything. It's one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. And we'll hear a little bit of it tonight.
We'll hear a little
this
bit.
Morning, but the whole thing. I mean, it's a tradition on our show for many years.
Probably about 10 years
easily, where we listen to "Honky the Christmas Goose" to get everybody in the Christmas spirit. It's not Christmas until "Honky the Christmas Goose" is played.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
But now Johnny Bauer. Anyway, he had a B-side,
but the
right?
The flip side of that was a song called "The Banjo Mule."
Okay.
So why don't we hear what "The Banjo Mule" is all about?
All right. This is Johnny Bauer. Here we go.
Once I had a musical mule, he never worked a lick. But when he heard a banjo, he would raise his legs and kick. He kicked to the left and then to the right, and then, by Jove, I swear, he'd sit down on his tail and kick straight up into the air.
Go down, mule!
That old mule began to kick. I put away my banjo pick.
Hold down, hold down, low down, mule, I'd say. He paid me no attention, so I got myself a stick. But I just couldn't beat that mule, so I just let him kick. He kicked the tails off 4 or 5 wheels. He broke an elephant's back. He stopped a Jesse choo-choo train. He kicked it off the track.
One day I played my banjo and I didn't say a word. I never saw that mule again, but this is what I heard. He met a she-mule in Detroit, they honeymooned in Maine. He got a job in Santa Fe, he pulls a famous train.
Mule train, mule train.
Oh man, I love Johnny Bauer, man. I love Johnny Bauer. And you know, you tell the story about how he got roped into doing these songs. It was a story behind it where they approached him and he was like...
Well, the producers and writers came into the locker room one day. And he just happened to be the last one standing and he got roped into doing it. And I before he passed a couple of years ago, I had a correspondence with him.
Yeah.
And I would ask him if he had ever done any additional. Would he ever do any additional? And he said, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I'm telling you, though, Honky, why don't we play it now?
You want to play Honky
now? Let's play a little bit of Honky now. And you get to hear the whole thing. In December when Rick comes back for the Christmas
show. It's track 369.
Okay.
And we'll hear what this is all about. And again, they're story songs like that, and they were of the vein of a Rudolph and all that type of stuff. A Dominic, the mule and all that, the other songs that people know.
But this is we're not going to hear the whole thing, which is unfortunate. But Tom, here's a little taste of one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. This is Johnny Bauer's "Honky the Christmas Goose." And again, you'll hear the whole thing. When Rick comes back in December.
Honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use till he learned how to blow his nose. Honk the way a goose nose blows. After that, and just for fun, it was a simple matter. He would blow his honky horn to see the people scatter. Cars and planes and trucks and trains would get out of his way. And when they heard that honky horn, this is what they'd say.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use.
One of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. Tom, that's a little bit of Honky the Christmas Goose.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's great.
But, you know, I'm a sucker for Dominic the Donkey when it comes to animal-based Christmas songs, but that's pretty good.
It's Honky. It's Honky the Christmas Goose.
I don't think he's buying into it.
No.
Maybe I got to hear the whole thing.
You got to hear, you know, it's magic. It's a magical song.
It is truly a magical song.
Seriously, I'm not being you know, ironic about this at all. I love Honky the Christmas Goose.
I am completely with you. Yeah. It's my favorite Christmas song. I play it repeatedly.
I love it, man. I think it's awesome. And I just love the fact that, it's Johnny Bauer.
The Iron Curtain, the Hall of Fame goalie.
Fantastic. All right. More hockey related songs here for the sports songs. What do we got next?
Okay. Why don't we play a song? It is going to be track 378. And we've played Don Cherry before. Don Cherry, for people who don't know, legendary CBC broadcaster, Hockey Night in Canada. The guy is a legend in Canada.
Yeah.
He coached in the NHL. He played in the minors. And he is so outspoken. In 1990, he put out a video, and on it was a rap called the Grape Jam Rap. And you're going to hear a little bit about what he thinks of some of the then players and some of the foreign players.
Right. Oh, Don Cherry. All right, here we go.
He's a man behind the mic and he loves a good fight. Got his own set of words and they come out just right. He's a hockey man seen coast to coast. And if you don't go in corners, he hates you the most. Great! I'll tell you something right now. Grape Jam! I coach the Boston Bruins. If you're asking me, I think the game's in ruins. Guys don't fight, they don't fact check. It's like watching the Nordiques out there in Quebec. Great! Now, let me tell you something right now, because, Grape Jam! He's got a 6-inch collar, he's no Kareem Buff. Likes to shout and holler when he sees rough stuff. Some say he's nasty, say he shouldn't be hurt. When it comes to hockey, he gets the last word. Great! I'm gonna tell you something, and it's a God's honest truth. Grape Jam! I'll tell you something else. Visors, no good. Don't like them. Great! Von Helleman, worst ref I've ever seen. Grape Jam! Europe, it's a nice place to visit, but just stop sending us hockey players, all right? Great! That's Joey Koser. He'll drop him with just about anyone. Grape Jam! Only guys who don't like fighting are you press types. I'll tell you that right now. Great!
Yeah. Don Cherry, man.
Now, that's a song. That's a track right there.
Oh, man. He's a legend, Don Cherry, man.
He is. And he still dresses the way with the high collars, yep. the fancy, you know, crazy color suits.
People aren't familiar with Don Cherry. Google. That's all I'm saying. The guy's a legend.
If you're hockey fans, you know.
Yeah, you know him if you're a hockey fan. No question about it. All right, hang on, okay?
All right.
Rick Geeser is with us. We got to take a break here. And again, if you got a lead on any of those two performances, those TV appearances by a young Wayne Gretzky singing songs on the Paul Anka Show and the Alan Thicke Show from the CBC, give us a line on that. Either contact Rick or you can text us at 312-981-7200. All right, more hockey sports songs after this. And welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline Studio here on Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your request and we'll play them later. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. My guest right now is our good friend Rick Geeser, who is the guy who runs sports songs. He collects them, he plays them, he loves them. And because hockey is kicking off this week, we decided we'd do a hockey edition of sports songs. And again, that was Al Melgard.
Yeah, the legendary organist for the Blackhawks, or for the Chicago Stadium.
The old Chicago Stadium. My mom was talking. I was talking with my folks. You know, we were talking about obviously the hockey season kicking off and stuff. And you know, my parents have been hockey fans for as far back as I can remember. So obviously, you know, the apple doesn't fall far
right.
from the tree for me, because they, you know, they brought me up as a maniac hockey fan. And my mom was talking about how years and years ago they would go to the old stadium to games, and they would dress up, like people would dress up. And my mom would wear heels and stuff. But you know, their seats were in the nosebleeds, and there was no escalator in the old stadium. There was no elevator in the old stadium. You clomped up those stairs, man, and my mom said that it was a nightmare going all the way up to, because they would always get the nosebleed seats up where the smoke all gathered, where the cigarette smoke would just gather and stay up.
Tony Esposito once told me he'd be, and remember how the balconies would be basically just over, almost over the playing field.
Yeah.
He would, or over the ice, he said he would look up sometimes and not be able to see people because of so much smoke in the arena.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was, there were times when, and this is not a joke. I mean, it was like there was a fog machine that would be on, people just puffing away. I know it's hard to fathom now. Like if you go into indoor stadiums or anything or anywhere indoors, nobody smokes. But the Chicago Stadium was just the madhouse on Madison, man, was a special place to see a hockey game. And the UC for me, the UC is the best place to see a hockey game in anywhere in the NHL. But there was nothing like the Chicago Stadium. The
place
old stadium
roared.
It was unbelievable. You could like the place would rattle, and especially
and
up
the organ playing, and it was just so loud.
It was fantastic. It was so special. I'm glad to have spent, you know, my childhood, basically, watching hockey games at that place. It was really, and going to concerts, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss, Zeppelin, all of those tall, exactly. All of those. That place was amazing. The Chicago Stadium was absolutely one of my favorite places ever. And I love the United Center, too. They did a great job with it. And we just celebrated an anniversary at the United Center, didn't we? Wasn't it like 20?
Could be.
25 years ago? I think it was like 25
years. Was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Well, we're back and more hockey songs to play. What do we got?
Why don't we go to track 122? This is from 1992, 1993, Buffalo Sabres. They put out a benefit cassette, a single, and they put on two songs. And this is a song called We Are the Buffalo Sabres. You're going to listen to it and you'll know exactly the parody they're doing. It's really obvious.
Okay.
On this song, Hall of Famers Pat LaFontaine, former Miracle on Ice player Mike Ramsey, former Blackhawk Wayne Pressly, and a whole lot more. This was released in 93, but it's members of the 92 and 93 team.
Okay, so this is the Sabres. Here we go.
In the heart of the Sabre fans,
Buffalo Sabres.
For Buffalo we will defend,
fighting for the face-off,
fighting in the playoffs,
fighting for survival,
fighting with the rivals.
Randy Wood and Sweeney, Mike Ramsey and Alex Mogilny, Guy Brabray and Bradley May, Ken Sutton, Thomas and Presley,
Buffalo Sabres.
Budget to Howard Chuck,
Buffalo Sabres.
Hannon to Andrew Chuck,
sharp as a razor,
gunning for the Stanley Cup.
Tougher and we're braver.
Right.
Never gonna give it up.
Well, that's the most un-reggae group of guys you could possibly imagine.
Bob Marley was a big hockey fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow.
Well, do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Why don't we listen to the other song on this single, this cassette, and it is track 156, and it is a song called Burning Down the Ice. I wonder what they're going to be singing to.
Oh, watch out! The Sabres coming at you! That's right! The Sabres score a shutout! They're faster! My red Corvette, burning down the ice. Robbery. The man's a psycho killer. Bradley. He's checking in the corners. LaFontaine's got a breakaway. Burning down the ice.
Tom is just shaking his head.
Sometimes you wonder. Sometimes you wonder. Now, this was a benefit CD. It benefited local charities in the Buffalo area.
But that's also another thing we should talk about a little bit here, is that a lot of these things were done as one-offs. Many of them were done for charity.
And, exactly. And like we played the songs that Alan Thicke wrote by Phil Esposito and Marcel Dion. Those were to benefit local juvenile diabetes associations.
Right, so, right. So it's all for a good cause. Yeah. Now, it doesn't necessarily make the songs better.
No.
But it's all, you know, when you think about it, it's like, you know what, that's cool that they did that. And again, all of those, a lot of the stuff that you just talked about that we played existed long before the Super Bowl Shuffle.
That's true.
But the Super Bowl Shuffle became so incredibly popular, you know, worldwide, that it just was like, oh, this is a thing to do. And then we've talked about this a million times. After the Super Bowl Shuffle, everybody was doing
it. We played a bunch of songs by different teams, and it was because they were so successful, lots of teams did it, but the Bears were copying others. Like the 49ers had done it previously.
Right.
San Diego Chargers had done it. A lot of other teams had done it previous.
Yeah, but it's true. It's also, we have to say this, the 85 Bears captured the imagination of everybody. It wasn't just Chicago.
It wasn't. They were a very charismatic bunch. They were a terrifically talented team.
Yeah. And still to this day, the 85 Bears, you know, people not just from Chicago talk about them, but all over the place. And any football fan from any city, we'll talk about the 85 Bears as being one of the greatest teams of
all time. Well, if you're ever going to talk about the greatest defense, you know, you could argue they're not the greatest, but they're definitely within the first, you know, one or two ever.
Oh, yeah. Every city except Miami would say that they're jerks.
Yes.
So,
and the
right.
85 Bears hate them as
yes,
much.
Yes, they do. All right, Rick, hang on. Hockey, not football. Hockey is the theme for this visit for Sports Songs, and we're going to continue doing it right after we break for the news, which is up after this. Jaunty version of The Godfather. man, the great Frank Pellico. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing? It's Wednesday morning, Wild Card Wednesday. You've been Wild Card Wednesday? 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in now, and we'll get them on the air for you. That was Frank Pellico.
Again, from the 1977 album, Touching.
Touching. There you go. That is Rick Geezer. Rick Geezer is the guy who has all the sports songs and visits with us. And you can go to sportsongs.com. You can go to sportsongs.com on Facebook. And if anybody has any leads on the Wayne Gretzky appearances from the 70s with Alan Thicke and Paul Anka on the CBC, please send us all the information that you have.
Or any other songs.
Yeah, that's true. He's always looking for other songs, too. And as long as they are sports-related. And these particular songs this morning, on this edition of Sports Songs, are hockey-related because hockey season begins this week. And I couldn't be happier about it. And let's get back to it. What do you want to go next?
Let's go to 365. In 2014, the Olympics were in Russia. The Winter Olympics were in Sochi, Russia. And the Russian hockey team put together a song for the Olympics. And it featured a lot of current stars of the NHL and some of their legendary players as well. You're going to hear the song. You're not going to understand a word, but I hope you agree with me that it's awesome.
All right. So this is the 2014 Russian hockey team. Right. Here we go.
Again, it's track 365. It's the 2014 Russian hockey team. Now, there, you know, Alexander Ovechkin's part of it and a whole lot of other players.
Бывают же порой на свете чудеса. Вышло будто шутки ради. Что лучшая игра. Случайно родилась.
rocking out.
They did, but if, what are they singing? Are they laying out, taking over our elections?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know, but it rocks. Yeah, there it is.
I think that's a great song. I love that song.
Very cool. The Russian hockey team, the Olympic hockey team from 2014. Okay, more hockey sports songs. What do we got next?
Why don't we go to track 381, and this is by Theo Fleury, a legendary player who ended his career with the Chicago Blackhawks. He became well known after his career for his frank discussion about being abused by his coach, sexually abused by his coach. And this is a song called Walk with Thousands. This was the theme song for the Victor Walk in 2012 in Canada. It's a march against childhood sexual abuse. And he then went on to record an album and a number of other songs. But this is a song I think people might really enjoy. It's kind of powerful.
Okay, there he is, Theo Fleury.
Everybody's got their circumstance. They hold it tightly in between their hands. Hope and healing too. Everybody's got a second chance. Redo the first one with a better plan. It'll all depend on you. Let's stick our necks out. Let's make a lot of noise. Let them hear us shout so that they can't avoid. Let them understand. All we wanna do is let the daylight in. So let the daylight in. Cause we're ready. Let's not look behind. This is meant to be the performance of our lives. And if we stand as one, walk with thousands.
It's really good.
It is, and we've played some of his other songs before, and they're decent, you know, country pop music.
Yeah,
and that was for a good cause.
Yeah, and it's a great message too.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, that's great. Okay, what do we got? Where are we going next?
Let's go to 377. This is a current player. He plays for the New York Rangers. You tell me if I'm pronouncing his name right, Nick. Micah Zibanejad. Did I say it right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the alternate one of the alternate captains for the New York Rangers. He's from Sweden, but his family is from Iran. And besides playing hockey, he is also a DJ and a producer. And this is a song he wrote and performed on in 2018 called Can't Go Back Home.
Here we go. Good.
It is. We played last time we played another song by him called Forever.
Yeah. This is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't tell me how to beat a power play.
Wow.
He does not. It needs to become more instructional.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's like contemporary and you could play that anywhere.
You could definitely.
Wow. All right. Okay, what do we got next?
Let's go to 376. This is Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from 2013 from the Fallon Show. And this is just a short thing that he appeared on the show right after the labor dispute. And they were announcing that hockey was back and it would be on NBC. But he plays a sweet child of mine.
Hey, by the way, who won the cup that year?
Who won the cup that year? Exactly.
I don't know. Who won the cup that year?
Exactly. On the shortened season.
Yes. 12 seconds, baby.
Yes.
All right. What do we got?
Well, 376. Here we go. Let's hear Henrik Lundqvist play Sweet Child of Mine with the Roots.
Here we go.
Thank you, the NHL, for ending your lockout.
Oh, he's doing a thank you note. Okay.
And thank you, New York Rangers goalie Henrik Lundqvist, for celebrating by coming on our show and playing Sweet Child of Mine on the guitar.
David Duchovny was the guest. Wow. All right. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can go online and you see him playing that song at different charity events. And
yeah. Is that the only song he knows?
It could be. He did a good job.
He did a great job.
He pops up at a lot of charity events with Ryan Miller. He did a few things with John McEnroe.
Sure.
It always seems to be come back down to Sweet Child of Mine.
There you go. All right. Very cool. Very cool. By the way, who won the cup that season? 2013?
I don't know, Tom.
I can't remember. Tom, do you remember who won the cup in 2013? I have a hard time remembering.
We're going to have to Google that.
Yeah, we will. The Hawks won the cup, damn it.
Oh, yes.
All right. What's next?
Okay, let's go to track 14. This is a song. Nobody's going to remember this guy. It's a guy named Jim Schoenfeld. He put out an album in 1972. He played with the Buffalo Sabres. He's still involved in the game. He's the assistant general manager for the New York Rangers. And
a lot of Rangers stuff in this segment.
Yeah, yeah. But he put out this album in 72 called Shoney. And then in 74, he put out an album of originals called The Key is Love. But this is an original song written by a guy named John Valby. Comedy fans know who he is because he was Dr. Dirty. Mm. So he toured at comedy clubs all around. But this is a song called Barbecue in Heaven. And it's just a silly song. And I always seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. All right, here we go.
There'll be barbecue in heaven when I get there. I'm getting hungry just waiting to go. There'll be barbecue in heaven when I get there. I hope I get to go. Life's long, work's hard, kids raise and feed. And every day I gladly pray for judgment day. There'll be a cookout in the sky and angels say, howdy son, come on in, stick it.
Dr. Dirty is on the
piano. Dr. Dirty's on the piano. That's Dr.
Balby.
Dirty.
Yes.
Oh, okay. He's on the piano.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did the singing, played some guitar as well.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well, there you go. Shoney, everybody.
Shoney.
From his album, Shoney.
Like the restaurant.
Man, does anybody remember Shoney's?
The big boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. All right, Rick, hang on.
Okay.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap everything up with Rick Geezer from Sports Songs. Check out sportssongs.com. He's got podcasts over at WGNRadio.com, and they're at sportssongs.com on Facebook, too. So we'll come back. More hockey sports songs right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on your overnight radio. We're in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday is coming up.
We have your Wildcard Wednesday.
Any song, any artist, anything, 312-981-7200. Yesterday marked the 52nd anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over The Tonight Show. So we're going to talk about Johnny. Talk about the best guests, the greatest bits, the most memorable moments. We'll play back some audio and take your phone calls and talk about the memories. And, of course, you can always watch the Johnny Carson Show on Antenna TV every weekday, every weeknight, I should say, at 10 p.m. And it's always great. But we wanted to mark that anniversary. So we're going to talk Johnny. We want to hear from you guys. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Welcome back, Rick.
Hello.
All right, Rick Geezer is here, and we are doing a hockey-themed sports songs. Where do you want to go next?
Why don't we go to track 155? We were talking earlier about the Super Bowl Shuffle and how it influenced a lot of team videos and songs, and this is one of them. In 1986-1987, Calgary Flames put out a video called "Can't Touch a Flame When It's Red Hot," and this includes Hall of Famers Brett Hull, Lanny McDonald, and a whole lot of others. The video is incredible. You got to check it out on YouTube when you have a chance. And the song is just very much of the era. So let's see what people think of "Can't Touch a Flame When It's Red Hot."
All right. You can
hear all the imperfections in the videotape that I pulled this from.
Oh, that's from the videotape.
Yeah. Yes.
That's from the old videotape.
From the VHS.
What are they dressed? Are they in their uniforms? Or
In part. But then, they're playing horns. They're singing. And, it's really corny. Just definitely.
Yeah. And that's late 80s.
Yeah.
No question about
yeah.
it. All right. That's pretty funny to say the Flames. Okay, what's next?
Another group. It's 157. Another group closer to home that did the thing was a group called the Chicago Six.
Oh, yes.
And this featured Hawks players Troy Murray, WGN's
good old Troy.
Only,
yes.
Kurt Frazier and Gary Nyland, along with WGN's Dan Hampton,
yeah.
Walter Payton, and Dave Duerson from the Chicago Bears. They put out a 45 and did a concert at the UIC Pavilion. And this song we're going to hear is them doing the theme from the Chicago Six.
All right, theme from the Chicago Six. Here we go.
Nasty bears and cold steel on ice.
Well, we got to get
Chicago Six. Chicago
Can we pull the verses out that Troy is singing?
Troy just did more background stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Played a little tambourine.
I'm going to mention that the next time I see Troy Murray.
Do that.
Yeah,
he'll be thrilled. Turns red.
Yeah. All right, the Chicago Six. What else we got?
Well, this is the 10th anniversary of the first cup. The first of the more recent
coming
cups.
Up, yeah. At the
ceremony, Christopher Stieg, at the cup ceremony, he sang an original rap. This is track 154, and let's remind everyone what Christopher Stieg sounded like when he decided to spend the weekend drinking.
Yeah, those rallies are kind of special.
Yeah,
here we go.
Every time I dive in my pool, it's hard to be humble. Well, I do a breaststroke through an underground tunnel and come up on the other side in a jacuzzi, being greeted by two girls that are wearing my jersey. They give me lots of hugs and kisses, and they ask me what my wish is. I say, go and get your friends, because there's gonna be a party. And in the end, the Stanley Cup is a dream, and I'm like, yes, the party.
You know, they could have got up there and said anything, and the crowd would have gone nuts. And they kind of did.
They did.
That was him doing a song by LMFAO.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's Christopher Stieg, and they just won the Stanley Cup.
Well, then in 2015,
yeah,
he and Joakim Nordstrom, they did a Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song. Do we have time?
Yeah, this will be the last one.
153, okay. They did And We Danced at that rally.
Yeah.
And we danced, and we cried, and we laughed, and had a really, really, really good time. Take my hand. Let's have a blast and remember this moment for the rest of our lives. Our lives.
Our lives.
Our lives.
Our lives.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 tonight.
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 Tonight. Because tonight is the night, am I right?
Dance!
I miss Christopher Stieg.
Let's see if we have another rally this year.
Yeah, let's see. I hope we have another rally this year. Those are fun. Those are fun. I was only at one of them, and that was the one. It was, you know, the other, the 13 and 15 were at Grant Park.
Grant Park.
I was at the one on Michigan.
Oh, that was 2010, the one on right
Avenue,
there, just south
right
of
by
the river.
Bridge. Yeah, yeah, right down the street.
Right, exactly.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. It was a good time, though. But I'm looking forward to hockey season. You like hockey, right?
I love hockey.
Yeah, and we have all the games right here on 720 WGN starting on Friday in Prague. Okay. Rick, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Really quickly, we're going to have you back in November to do a potpourri of different sports.
We'll do I've got all kinds of sports other than the big ones that we always, but there's some great names, so we'll have some fun.
It'll be great. Okay, thank you, Rick. All right, we'll take a break, and news is coming up. All right, welcome back, everybody. Yeah, and that's the Munsters theme. What's who requested the Munsters theme?
That's coming to us from Big Ed.
Big Ed wanted to hear the Munsters theme. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is Wildcard Wednesday. You made Wildcard Wednesday. That is any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. So, Johnny Carson made his debut. I've been doing the math wrong here. It's 57 years, not 52nd. It's 57 years ago he took over as host of The Tonight Show. And so we're going to talk about that. It's hard to believe. It was October 1st, so yesterday was the 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson making his debut as The Tonight Show host. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite Johnny Carson moments, some of the greatest bits, some of the greatest guests. We've got a lot of really fantastic audio here, and we're going to talk about some of the best moments. And we want to hear from you guys. Johnny Carson is the best, one of the greatest. I love watching the reruns. And again, you can watch the reruns on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m. And I highly recommend you do because they are classic 70s and 80s episodes of the Johnny Carson Show. And definitely, definitely golden. And so, but we want to hear from you guys. What are your favorite Johnny Carson moments, your favorite Johnny Carson bits, your favorite Johnny Carson guests? 312-981-7200. I always love remembering the great Johnny Carson. Let's kick it off with this. Fantastic. Yes, that's the Tonight Show theme, Johnny Carson. So many people would, I remember when I was a kid, you know, in the 70s, and, you know, in the 70s, that was kind of the heyday, the highlight, the best time period, as far as I'm concerned, the best time period of Carson, and the most fun to watch, for me at least, because, you know, that was part of my childhood. I mean, my nightly childhood routine would be, I would, you know, watch The Tonight Show. My parents would let me stay up a lot and watch The Tonight Show. And just some of the classic guests and great moments and stuff like that. But that was, it's just, you know, it was the quintessential. And the stuff still holds up, as you'll hear, and as we reminisce here about the great Johnny Carson. You know, it's timeless stuff, great bits, and he was just such a great host, and nobody really could equal Johnny Carson. And there have been a lot of talk show hosts that I really love, and we're going to talk about some of the best talk show hosts too. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But there was just something about Johnny Carson that was just fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about that day in history. That day in history would be October 1st, 1962. Johnny Carson takes over from Jack Parr as host of the late-night talk show program, The Tonight Show. Carson went on to host The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson for three decades, becoming one of the biggest figures in entertainment in the 20th century. John William Carson was born October 23rd, 1925, in Corning, Iowa. He grew up in Norfolk, Nebraska, and he served in the U.S. Navy in the mid-40s and attended the University of Nebraska. By the early 1950s, he was living in California and working in radio and the emerging medium of television. He later moved to New York City in 1957, became the host of a popular game show called Who Do You Trust? And at that time period, in the late 50s and into the early 60s, it was great. He made a lot of appearances on those fantastic old panel shows that you can see on, you know, on Buzzer or the Game Show Network, the old black and white panel shows, which are just so great. And he made regular appearances on that. And then in 1958, Carson appeared on The Tonight Show as a substitute host for Jack Parr. And The Tonight Show had originated in 1951 in Los Angeles as a radio program hosted by Steve Allen. In 1954, the program moved to TV. And in 1956, Jack Parr replaced Allen as the host. Carson took over permanent hosting duties from Parr on October 1st, 1962. He hosted the show from New York City until 1972, when he relocated to Burbank, California. And Burbank became, you know, the target of a bunch of running gags, you know, about, you know, they would always talk about Burbank in a very funny way, kind of slamming the city, but in a funny and sweet way. Each edition of The Tonight Show began with Carson's sidekick, Ed McMahon, announcing, "Here's Johnny." Carson, who became known for his relaxed, affable stage presence and dapper appearance, performed an opening monologue of jokes, punctuated by his trademark golf swing. Following the monologue, he would banter with McMahon and the show's bandleader, Doc Severinsen, and sometimes perform skits and play characters such as Karnak the Magnificent, an all-knowing seer, and the elderly Aunt Blabby. By the way, Karnak, we've got a couple of examples of Karnak. Karnak was my favorite. Karnak the Magnificent was my favorite. Now, that's a bit, Carson would have told you, that was, you know, here's the thing about a lot of the late night stuff that people are still doing, the bits that people do, the man on the street stuff, the animal stuff, Karnak, a lot of the bits that anybody in late night has done, it really all goes back to Steve Allen. Steve Allen was the guy who created almost all of that stuff. He broke kind of every rule that you could. He invented a bunch of stuff, and so Karnak was kind of a version of something that Steve Allen had created. But that was kind of the case. Like I said, that's kind of the case with all of the kind of knowing and knowable recurring bits that you see on late night television. That can all be traced back to Steve Allen, who was the innovator, who was the true innovator of the talk show, of the late night talk show. Carson then conducted celebrity interviews. The Tonight Show featured sit downs with the day's biggest movie and TV stars, as well as athletes, politicians, singers, comedians, and animal acts. On December 17th, 1969, The Tonight Show drew its largest audience when some 58 million people tuned in for the on-air wedding of singer Tiny Tim to his teenage fan known as Miss Vicky, which to this day to me is just one of the most bizarre things. I do remember when it happened. I mean, I was four, but I do remember when it happened. I remember what a big deal it was. And then years, you know, as years go by and you go back and you can watch that thing over and over again, it's just so bizarre. It's just so weird. And it's so weird that 58 million people chose to tune into that. Now, granted, there were only three channels at that time, and there wasn't as much to choose from. But the fact that Tiny Tim, I always, you know, found it interesting. You know, when I was a kid, Tiny Tim was really, really popular when I was a little kid. And I didn't think twice about it because I was a little kid, and I was like, oh, look, that Tiptoe Through the Tulips, that's funny. And he was on Laugh-In. He was on a lot of variety shows, made several appearances on The Tonight Show, obviously got married on The Tonight Show, which was a big stunt at that time. There weren't a lot of stunt things happening on television at that time. Now, like every show, they do some sort of crazy stunt to grab ratings or something. But that was one of the first of its kind to do something like that in order to grab a bunch of people and ratings. But if you go back and watch it again, it's just so strange. It is just so weird. And to think, you like, I watch it now, you know, I look back at it and I watch it. I'm pretty sure you can probably see clips of it, at least on YouTube. It's just weird. You know, you think you watch it and you go, man, 58 million people watch. This was like the biggest thing on television at the time. Why? Why? As for Carson's influence on the TV industry as a whole, according to his obituary in the New York Times, it says, throughout his career, Mr. Carson was instrumental in changing some of the bedrock ways television was operated. His move to Burbank meant a realignment of American pop culture from East Coast to West Coast, from Broadway to Hollywood. And once The Tonight Show ceased to be televised live from 11:30 to 1 a.m., it began being taped in the early evening. It lost some of its spontaneity and sense of danger that a live performance brings, and also eventually a half an hour of its running time. The practice of taping is now the norm, and virtually all live entertainment programming on national television has become a thing of the past. Which is true. They tape it like 5:30. All the shows tape at 5:30. After three decades with the hugely successful Tonight Show, Carson decided to retire. He hosted his final show on May 22, 1992. Comedian Jay Leno took over hosting duties the following day. Carson, who was married four times, stayed largely out of the public spotlight after retiring. And on January 23, 2005, the late-night TV legend died at the age of 79 of complications from emphysema. He smoked like a fiend, Johnny Carson. And back in those days, like in the 70s, you know, he had a cigarette box on his desk, which we'll get to a little bit later on, because there is an infamous thing that happened on the show that involves his legendary cigarette box. Guests would smoke on the show. They would drink. This was back in those days. Like, Dean Martin would come out with a cocktail and, like, have, and they would just be a panel of people up there smoking. And that's what it was like back in those days. You know, Rick and I were talking about the Chicago Stadium back in the days in the 60s and the 70s when there were just, it was just a fog bank of cigarette smoke. And on those late night TV shows and on those talk shows and even on game shows, people smoked. Like, if you go back and watch Match Game, you can see Richard Dawson puffing away and Scoey Mitchell with a cigarette in his hand.
Just ripping heaters.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was it was special. That whole 30 years was really special. And I remember, you know, there was the week that he retired, like every night was a special show that they did with, you know, some of his favorite guests, including people like Robin Williams and things like that. And we're going to play a little bit later on. Bette Midler serenaded him on the last show with One More for My Baby. We'll play a little bit. That was a beautiful moment. Really, really touching. I don't know anybody who watched it, who, you know, who was or is a giant Johnny Carson fan like I am and didn't get teary-eyed while watching it. And then the following night, he just did a show, the entire show, from he was at the spot on stage in front of that curtain where he would do his monologue every night. He was sitting on a stool reminiscing about the show and playing clips. And then he said goodbye to the audience for the last time and walked off the stage. And I remember watching that whole week in 1992 of shows, and it was really great. Because, I mean, you know, I'd watched The Tonight Show basically my whole life, and it was always with Johnny Carson. Jay Leno took over. The less said about that, the better. And then Conan took over for a little period of time, and then Jay screwed him over. Jay went back, and now Jimmy Fallon has it. And I really hate the way the Conan thing went down. I never really liked Jay Leno. I liked Jay Leno when he was edgy, when he was like still friends with David Letterman and would show up on Letterman's late night show and do really, really funny bits. But once he got The Tonight Show, it was over at that point. He wasn't funny anymore. He didn't have an edge anymore. He was a terrible interviewer. And I never really liked him. But after that Conan thing, the way that Conan was screwed over by Jay and NBC was unforgivable, completely unforgivable. And when they did an anniversary special about The Tonight Show, a history special about The Tonight Show, NBC did it. They didn't even mention Conan, the time period that he hosted it. It was just, I was so angry. I can't even explain to you how angry I was. Jimmy Fallon takes over. You know, what are you going to say now? I think it's cool that he brought it back to New York. I think that like, historically is kind of cool that he brought it back to New York. But nobody could ever in a million years fill the shoes of Johnny Carson. And, of course, you know, when Jay Leno got it, that started the late-night wars between him and David Letterman. Carson never came back to The Tonight Show when Jay Leno was on it. But he did go to David Letterman's show, which I think says a lot about who he wanted to pass the baton to. He was great. He was a class act. He was a legend. Had an interesting and troubled personal life. Drank a lot. Went through a lot of marriages. Had some legal issues. One of his sons died at a young age. So he had a bit of a troubled personal life. But he always kept it to himself. He was never one of these guys. You know, he never let it affect what he did as a performer and how he hosted that show. Never less than a true professional, never less than hilarious, and never funnier than when he bombed. I know that sounds ridiculous, but when he would do a monologue and he would start tanking, it became funnier and funnier and funnier. And nobody knew how to recover from a terrible joke that doesn't work. Nobody knew how to do that better than Johnny Carson. Nobody knew how to turn a disastrous bit or a joke into something hilarious. Nobody could do it better. Nobody still has ever done it better than Johnny Carson. So we're talking about Johnny Carson, 57th anniversary yesterday of him taking over The Tonight Show for 30 years. And you can see all the great episodes on Antenna TV. Like I said, it's a treat to watch every weeknight at 10 o'clock. All right, let's take a break. We're talking Johnny Carson. We want to hear from you guys. I know you guys have memories, and I know you guys have favorite things to talk about. So call us or text us right now at 312-981-7200.
Check the OR, you like it so far. Check the OR, you like it so far. Check the OR, you like it so far. Check the OR, you love the OR. Here we go, ready to set it off.
From coast to coast, it's the most and it hits rough. Organized rhymes here to start it up. You got some trouble with your mouth, you better shut it up. Think twice before you act and try to tackle the funky stuff. I take your suckers out like meat on a shish kebab. And you don't know it, but your girl's doing kids and rock.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My man Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Wild Card Wednesday.
Give me a good windy wild.
And that's any artist, any song, anything. Who requested?
So that is coming to us from Canadian Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Check the OR by Organized Rhyme, a rap group based out of Ottawa, Canada.
Okay.
Featuring none other than Tom Green.
Ah, yes. Good old Tom Green. He does enjoy rapping, doesn't he? So, all right. Well, welcome back, everybody. And by the way, after the about an hour after the 4:30 news, we will have yet another edition of Know Your Onion. This is where Tom is your host, and we'll have two contestants. They will each play a solo round, a piece, and Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to decide whether it's real or whether it's from the fake news comedy satirical newspaper, The Onion. So you either say fake or you either say real or onion. Real or onion. That's your answer because it's so difficult to tell the difference between onion headlines and real headlines now because it's insane in the world. So there you go. All right. And welcome back, everybody. Yesterday was the 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over from Jack Parr for The Tonight Show and then doing a 30-year run that was magnificent. And we are remembering Johnny Carson. We want to hear from you guys with your favorite moments, favorite guests, favorite bits. 312-981-7200. Jay says, hey, Nick, favorite Johnny Carson's guests were numerous, but Belinda Carlisle, she was so sweet interviewing. Carlisle focused on her music. Sally Field and the shaving cream incident. And I love Joan Rivers, too. Joan Rivers, interesting little story about that is that Joan Rivers was one of Johnny's favorite guests, and he showcased her very early in her career when it was difficult for female comedians to get on TV. He gave her a stage. Joan Rivers, who, by the way, is one of my favorites ever. And she it was, you know, a groundbreaker. People really need to like look back and reevaluate if you don't know the kind of impact that Joan Rivers had as a performer, and especially as a female performer in the world that she was in. Her and Phyllis Diller and a lot of those women from that era. But Joan Rivers was amazing, and they had a great you know relationship with each other. And she was like his go to fill in guest for a very, very long time. There was a period of time, and Carson was doing this for a while. He started taking Mondays off. And they'd have a guest host on Mondays. Then he just started taking more vacations. And like as he went on, and God bless him, let him do that. You know what I mean? He'd take like a Monday off, and then, you know. But at one point, his go-to fill-in host was Joan Rivers, and you know, a lot of people were thinking that when and if Johnny ever retired, Joan Rivers would take over because he had such a close relationship, and because she was like the guest host pretty much all the time. But then she took a gig opposite Johnny, where she had her own show. She had her late night show, and she took a gig becoming Johnny's becoming his opponent, you know, his competition. And so Johnny kind of went ballistic about that. It was another thing that Johnny was. He was very competitive, and he valued, you know, what he thought was, you know, friendship and your allegiance to him. And when Joan Rivers took the late night gig opposite him, he never spoke to her again, never had her on the show. They never spoke again. And it was all the way up until Johnny's death. They never did speak. And Joan Rivers was very, very sad about that until she died. So that's a very sad thing. But Joan Rivers was great on the show. She killed every single time she came on. She killed. And she was a terrific guest host. 724 area code says, the Copper Clapper Caper with Jack Webb and Carson is hilarious. Yes, it is. It's one of the funniest things they've ever done. It's a Dragnet takeoff with Jack Webb and Johnny doing the. Everybody knows. If you know the history of the Tonight Show, the Copper Clapper Caper is one of those magnificent bits that has gone down in history. Have you ever seen the Copper Clapper Caper?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It's unbelievably funny. And, yeah.
I'm just happy that Antenna TV shows this nightly, because I he didn't exist to me until someone told me that Johnny Carson was a person.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah. For younger people, it's great. It's great to catch up on. And it's timeless. You could go and watch that stuff on Antenna TV. You can watch it. And just and it's just ridiculously great. It
still makes me weep with laughter.
It doesn't matter how old you are. So, let's see. Alfredo says, great show as always. Thank you, Alfredo. The Johnny Carson show I remember best was when he had a very young Robin Williams who was a guest along with his idol Jonathan Winters. And Johnny Carson just sat back and watched it all happen. That was a really terrific moment. But every time Robin Williams was on, Johnny didn't have to say anything, because you wind that guy up and he goes nuts. And Johnny loved Robin Williams. He loved Robin Williams. He would have him on and just set him up and let him go. And you could watch Johnny, and Johnny would laugh his ass off behind that desk every time Robin Williams was on. But when Robin Williams was on with Jonathan Winters, it was pretty amazing, because Jonathan Winters was obviously Robin Williams' hero. And to see those two, you know, going nuts and Johnny falling off his chair, that was pretty special. Lots of special stuff happened on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. That's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. It's been 57 years since he took over, when Johnny took over from Jack Parr. And we're talking about that and more right here on WGN. News is coming up after this. Hey, listen, what the hell happened after that first album? Who requested the Ministry when Ministry was good?
That's coming to us from a good pal, Ike.
Ike, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is a Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, baby, Wildcard Wednesday. And that's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Yeah, it's the 57th anniversary of the day, or the night, that Johnny Carson took over for Jack Parr on The Tonight Show and held down that job for 3 decades, doing a legendary job and leaving behind unbelievable memories, great bits, and lots of comedy and lots of love. You can check out the reruns of the Tonight Show, the Johnny Carson Show, with all the classic stuff from the 70s and 80s, and you can check that out every weeknight at 10 p.m. on Antenna TV, which is just spectacular to watch. So we're just reminiscing about Johnny Carson. We want to hear from you. We've got some great audio from the past here and listening to some great Johnny Carson bits as we celebrate this anniversary. But we want to hear from you via talk or text. It's 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, but the Bette Midler serenade to Johnny Carson always gets me misty-eyed. I remember tuning in for that whole week as well. Also, we're going to play the Bette Midler serenade later in the show. It's just, it's fantastic. Hey, Nick, I agree. 773 area code says, I agree with everything you said about Johnny Carson. I love his Midwestern vibe, which I think is one of the reasons why he clicked with Letterman, because Letterman's from Indiana. Sometimes Johnny would contribute to David's monologue. I always think about Johnny on October 23rd because that's my birthday, too. I think of him like a godfather. It's great. You know, you have a connection with, you know, sometimes you have a connection with, you know, people who are on TV, clearly. But I think it's even more if it's like late. Like, that's one of the reasons why I love this time slot that I have, because I think we are connected. You, the listener, and me, the host, and Tom and Vic are more connected with the listeners, because it's a very intimate time. It's late at night. And you feel more like you're part of the family. And I'm on, you know, 4 hours every overnight, every weekday morning, and it's kind of an intimate thing, and I cherish that. I think it's really important, and I don't take that lightly. I don't take that connection lightly, and I think that's kind of what happened with people connecting with Carson, because they would see him every single night when they were going to bed or while they were in bed, and that makes a difference. Let's see. 219 area code says, my favorite two Carson memories are when he sang Rhinestone Cowboy on the Little Mule. Yeah. Hilarious when he came out on the mule. Also when he was bombing during his monologue and he grabbed the mic, pull it down and say, attention, Kmart shoppers. As I was saying earlier, no one was better at bombing than Johnny Carson. You know what I mean? Like if his monologue was bombing, it would kill. It was sometimes funnier if his monologue was bombing, because he would just go, I mean, it was just always hilarious. Nick, I love Johnny Carson's interplay with Ed McMahon. Yeah, no, there's no question about it. He and Ed McMahon were fantastic. Just fantastic together. Especially as Karnak the Magnificent, Ed would repeat what Karnak said, and Johnny would play it perfectly with an annoyed look on his face and a great comeback. We have some examples of that. But yeah, the Karnak was my favorite. As I mentioned before, Karnak was my favorite. When I was a little kid, every time he tripped going to the desk at the beginning of the, when they'd introduce Karnak, and he would trip over and almost fall in into the desk, I laughed every time. And as an adult, I'm not kidding, when I watch it on Antenna TV, every time Karnak comes out and trips on his way to the desk, I laugh out loud. And I remember it was one time they did it, and they didn't tell the audience or anything, but they put a breakaway desk there. And he tripped, Karnak tripped, went through the desk. Not unlike what Chris Farley did during Van Down by the River. He busted the entire desk. And I remember as a kid, I almost flipped when he busted. And they did the whole Karnak bit with no desk. Like, he would sit, he scooted up, and Ed would hand him the envelopes. But that whole byplay, you know, the these envelopes have been hermetically sealed, left on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch since noon today. All that, that whole thing. Fantastic. So, yeah, you can't really say enough about Ed McMahon. Pro. I got to interview Ed McMahon twice. Let me explain something to you. Highlights of my career as a person who is, you know, really lucky to interview people. Ed McMahon was a pro. An absolute pro. He was great. Okay, we got a bunch of people who are calling in. 57th anniversary yesterday of Johnny taking over the Tonight Show. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Yes, I remember back in 1976 when Chevy Chase left SNL. All the talk throughout the whole business was, oh, he's being groomed. He's eventually going to replace Johnny Carson. And then, of course, 20 years later, he got a talk show, and it was terrible, and it bombed.
It was an awful show. The Chevy Chase show was awful. But, yeah, no, I remember, when Chevy Chase left Saturday Night Live, there was so much speculation, you know, like he left because he wanted to be a movie star, you know, and he ended up, you know, like about a year and a half later, Foul Play came out. It was a really big hit. And then he did become a movie star. But then after his movie career had kind of fallen off, that late night show, if anybody remembers it, it was absolutely terrible. The Chevy Chase.
Well, that was the year that everyone in the world had a talk show. Sajak, and they were all imitation Johnny Carson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Okay. 224 says, I got to give a shout out to Ed McMahon. He's the sidekick's sidekick. Nobody was better. Except maybe for Jeffrey Peterson. Balls. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, my favorite was the Burt Reynolds and Deloise. Oh. That always just killed me.
Well, you know how that whole thing started, Steve. It started because Dom DeLuise came out first. This is a legendary moment in Tonight Show history. Dom DeLuise came out first and did a trick that involved eggs and a broom handle.
Yeah.
And he would step on the bristles of the straws of the broom, and he had eggs balanced on this plate with glasses of water underneath. And he would release the broom handle, it would slap the plate, and the eggs fell into the glasses of water. But they started throwing eggs at each other. So Dom DeLuise started the whole thing. He got egg all over Johnny. Johnny got egg. And so they started the egg fight. And then Reynolds comes out with his brown leather pants on and a can of whipped cream. And then it just completely went off the rails, and it was Burt Reynolds was always great at that time period on Johnny's show. Yeah.
And you can't forget Buddy Hackett or especially Rickles.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to Rickles because we're going to talk we're going to get to Rickles. Okay,
show.
Take care, buddy. Here's Doc on WGNA. Doc.
Hey, man.
Hey.
You know, one thing about Johnny is he could tease people, but he was never mean.
Yeah.
You know, when nobody seemed to pick that up. But I got like three of my favorite bits. One, Art Farn.
Yeah.
The movie guy.
Yeah.
And as a young guy, I had many impure thoughts about Carol Wayne.
Well, Carol Wayne, you know, the matinee lady. Come on, man. Carol Wayne. You know, and Doc, we're going to play some Art Farn here.
We got good.
Some audio.
He had his stick and his pointer.
Yeah.
Cut off. Always say, Well, you're probably going to say about the Slauson cutoff.
Yeah, exactly. Slauson cutoff, fork in the road, all that. It's just, it was funny every time. He did it, you know, like, and you knew it was coming. You know, like three or four of those same jokes were going to be done in that bit, and it was funny every single time. Every time.
Another character you haven't mentioned was Floyd R. Turbo American.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like a dumb redneck that would be wearing like a wool shirt jacket and an Elmer Fudd hat.
Right. And he would do editorials and rebuttals on TV. Hilarious.
And I have one example of Karnak, because when Karnak would bomb, you know, he'd say something that was a real groaner.
Yeah.
He'd always have a comeback, and here was one of them.
Yeah.
He'd go, may the sewers of Rangoon back up in your cornflakes.
We got a couple of those that we're going to play, too, Doc. All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, listen, here's the deal. Let's play some Tea Time. Can we go to, so the Tea Time movie, this was back in the days on local television when there would be a host who would show a daytime movie. He would come out, talk about stuff, probably get into, sometimes they would give away prizes. He would, local advertisers would come out, and there used to be a woman who would come out for these and hold up things, and she would be a spokesmodel. Well, Carol Wayne played the matinee lady, and Tea Time movie was hosted by Johnny Played Art Fern. Let's hear a little bit of this, because this is just some of my favorite stuff.
Feature film freaks, Art Fern here with today's feature film find. George Sanders, George C. Scott, George Hamilton, George Burns, Boy George, and Vibrato, the Wonder Eel, in Andy Hardy Gets a Cabbage Patch Kid in Trouble. But first, friends, has living in the crowded city got you down? Is your apartment so tiny the only way you can get in your door is by reaching in and deflating your parakeet? Homeowners, is your yard in the city so small that squirrels can only store microfilm of their nuts? Well, friends, then maybe it's time you moved out of the city and bought land in the most exciting new land development in southern Florida. Yes, friends, I'm talking about Yellow Fever Estates. Yes, friends, we're offering fabulous 1/16th of an acre parcels of the most beautiful land an eagle ever pooped on. Friends, I'm a man of the world. I wouldn't expect you to buy a pig in a poke. I wouldn't respect you if you did. So we provide an aerial photograph of your property right here. Say this real estate photo does not provide enough topographical detail. Well, then run a hang glider and a Polaroid and do it yourself. Why not call our toll-free number? Our operators are standing by. For $50, they'll lie down. But that's another story. Or come to our sales office in person. How do you get there, you ask?
How do we get there, I'm wondering?
Somebody just asked. Friends, you take the Golden State Freeway to the Ventura Freeway to the San Diego Freeway until you come to the Slauson Cutoff. Get out of your car, cut off your Slauson, get back in your car.
Please.
Vibrato the Wonder Eel.
Vibrato the Wonder Eel. Oh, my God. It's just so good. So good. 30 years of that. You gotta admire that. All right. We're remembering Johnny Carson here. 57 years ago yesterday, he took over for Jack Parr and lasted for 30 years and left behind so much great stuff. And we're playing a little bit of it and talking about it. We want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Let's break for some weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. Who requested that?
It's coming to us from John in L.A.
All right, John in L.A. Wildcard Wednesday, man. You give me a Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive right here on 720 WGN. Yesterday was the 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over for Jack Parr on The Tonight Show. And so we're remembering that and remembering a bunch of really great things about Johnny Carson and his show and some of the great moments. And we want to hear from you. I know everybody has some. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Let's see. We got some texts here. 224 area code. Thoughts on SNL impersonations of Carson by Dana Carvey. Very funny. Very, very funny. Dana Carvey's Carson, I think, is probably my favorite of all of his impressions. And he had Phil Hartman as Ed McMahon, and I think my favorite one that they did was when Arsenio Hall's show started, and he took ratings away from Carson because he appealed to a younger audience. And when Arsenio came, he became like really, really popular, and he was the talk of the town, and he was like, at times he was beating Carson in the ratings. And this was, you know, this was pretty late in Carson's career at this time. And, you know, Arsenio Hall represented a group that weren't known for hosting shows, and he represented younger audiences. And so he took a big chunk out of Johnny's ratings. And so there's a bit that they did on SNL, and I don't know if people remember this or not. Well, it was Carsenio. Instead of Arsenio, it was Carsenio. And they did the same graphics. Dana Carvey came out as Johnny Carson with a high-top fade. And he was doing the whole woof, 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 woof. And he was wearing like a very colorful, crazy suit at the time. And Ed McMahon, same thing, had a high top fade and everything. And they were trying to do everything that Arsenio was doing. I think that was my favorite bit that they ever did as Carson with Carvey and Hartman. 773 air coded. I loved it when Carson would have animals on the show. Always great. Always, always great. Always funny. Especially when they peed on him. Always funny. 331 area code says, I love Johnny's impersonation of President Reagan. The makeup was spot on. His Reagan was great, and they did it all the time. 317 area code says, good morning, Nick. I love when Frank Sinatra would show up on the show, and inevitably Don Rickles would appear. I wish TV were more like that now. You're the best, Nick. I appreciate you every morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening every morning. Well, hey, you like Frank Sinatra when he shows up? Do you like Don Rickles when he shows up? Because we happen to have some Frank Sinatra and Don Rickles, Frank Sinatra with Don Rickles, appearing on the Tonight Show. So here's a highlight of that.
Hey, Frank, it's good to see you. I just was hanging around in the hall, and they said Frank Sinatra's here. And I've never met him, you know. And I get the chill.
You'll excuse us, won't you?
Certainly, certainly. Marco Manganzo was hurt.
Marco Manganzo.
Fambino Bombazzo, two bullets in the head Thursday. Now this you don't believe. Excuse us, Johnny, you're from the Midwest, you're busy going, is the truck loaded? Guido says hi. He hasn't had a chance to talk to you. And from Jersey City, your good friend, Bubani Umbazzo.
What's
he
his
started
alias?
His car. He started his car with your album on, and now he's a highway.
Fantastic stuff. Just fantastic. And it was just loose. You know, they would come out and just screw around. Always great. Now, listen, since we brought up Don Rickles, the cigarette box. We have to talk about the cigarette box, because this is one of the classic moments in Tonight Show history. Johnny had a cigarette box that was famously on his desk. He would tap on it with his pencils, of which I have one right here. I have an official Tonight Show with Johnny Carson pencil, which has two erasers, one on either end, because that's what Johnny had. He had pencils that had erasers on both ends, no lead, no point. And he would beat on them on the desk with them and on the cigarette box. So the cigarette box was this thing that was, you know, it was something that he had on his desk all the time. And at one point, Don Rickles showed up on the show. Let me set this up. We're going to play it after the 4 o'clock news. We'll jump into the whole broken cigarette box epic moment, and we'll do that after. We'll do it after the news at 4. But let me set this up a little bit first. When later in Johnny's career, he tended to take a lot of time. It started out as like Mondays. He would take Mondays off. He'd be off every Monday. He only worked 4 nights a week. And then he had a lot of vacation time. He took a lot of vacation time. That's when you would see a lot of Joan Rivers. That's when you see a lot of Jay Leno. That kind of stuff. So he took a Monday night off. Bob Newhart was the host. One of the guests was Don Rickles. Rickles was screwing around, and he broke Johnny's cigarette box. And what happens after that is, to me, classic television. And we're going to get into that after 4. We'll play the whole thing. We'll play Rickles breaking the cigarette box, and then we'll find out what Johnny does. Rickles used to be on this sitcom called CPO Sharky, which was a very funny show. It lasted a few seasons on NBC. It was a very funny show. And he just happened to tape in front of a live audience. He used to tape his sitcom, CPO Sharky, in front of a live audience in the studio next to Johnny Carson's. So that's the setup for the cigarette box bit, which I'm sure a lot of people who have watched the Tonight Show over the years are familiar with what happened. And it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. I remember watching it when it happened. And I was a big fan of CPO Sharky as well. So to see like what happened is pretty great. So we'll play that. That's one of the highlights that we'll play right after the news at 4. 312-981-7200, Johnny Carson memories and favorite things and all that cool stuff. We got more audio to play and some classic moments. And if you want to jump in, talk or text us, 312-981-7200. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a history that a woman named Fran Tate has with Stephen Gunny, but she was the one guest who stole the show. He forgot about all his guests, and what happened was they were doing a show one night, and it was real cold here in Chicago, and they thought, let's look up what the coldest place in the country is, and it turned out to be Barrow, Alaska, and the policeman that they called there said, you really need to get a hold of a woman named Fran Tate.
Right.
Turns out Fran Tate was, she did some engineering up there, she owned a restaurant.
If people are regular listeners of this time slot, they know who Fran Tate is. They absolutely know who Fran Tate is.
But she was the only one who stole the show from every other guest that day, scheduled on Johnny Carson.
All right, Johnny Carson had Fran Tate on, who is a friend of this time slot. Steve and Johnny knew her. She's a fantastic person, fascinating woman, charming, so funny, so giving, so amazing. She appeared on Johnny Carson's show as one of the, because Johnny would have like real people, quote unquote, on his show. We have a woman, by the way, that we're going to play a little bit later, who collected potato chips that looked like things. We'll get to that a little bit. But anyway, Fran Tate fit into that mold, but she was so charming. Johnny loved her so much, he bumped famous people. He bumped famous people to keep her on for extra segments. And he'd never done that before. She was the first and I think the only sort of real-life guest that falls under that category who charmed Johnny so much that he kept her on for segments. And I'm trying to remember, there was a comedian who was supposed to do a set that night who didn't, who got bumped because of Fran Tate. And it was a comedian who I think went on to become pretty famous. I can't remember who, because there was one other guest on that night, but there were supposed to be three. But he kept Fran Tate on long. And the other guest got bumped because they were supposed to do, the guest that didn't get bumped, was supposed to do two segments, only did one. The comedian who was supposed to do a set got bumped because of Fran Tate. Now, Fran Tate is a legend, especially for people who listen to this time slot and who love Steve and Johnny. She was an amazing woman who was fantastic and giving and caring and awesome and was great to listen to and was always a fun, wonderful guest on Steve and Johnny's show. And she does have that distinction. It's absolutely true. She has the distinction of being like a non-celebrity who Johnny Carson bumped celebrities for. That's a claim to fame right there. Right there alone. And I've seen that, you know, Antenna TV has repeated that, the Fran Tate episode, many times. And you should see it. You should definitely check it out. Because it's kind of amazing to watch Johnny just be completely charmed by this woman. And Fran Tate's an incredibly charming woman who we all, you know, those of us who listen to Steve and Johnny on a regular basis, we all fell in love with Fran Tate completely. But anyway, that was an amazing moment and a great tie-in to Steve and Johnny and to this radio station. And Antenna TV, by the way, they do show you who's going to be the guests on the schedule on their website. So look for the Fran Tate episode because it's pretty special. Okay, thank you, Mark. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got the news. And after the news, we're going to play the cigarette box bit and much more Tonight Show Memories on 720 WGN. Song's a jam. Welcome back, everybody. By the way, Tom, this theme is also a regular feature during Halloween.
Of course.
Now, one of the reasons why I play it so much is because, you know, when I first, you know, started working with Esmeralda during the Halloween time, I would always bust out some of the Halloween music, and I would play that, and Esmeralda just started. She was like, I saw her like in the traffic department, just like dancing to it, and she was like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. What is that? And she had no idea what it was. And I was like, well, that's the the Silver Shamrock commercial theme from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is one of the greatest movies ever made. And she's like, what? So I brought the movie in, and she watched it and thought it was ridiculous. But she loved it every time I played that theme. So every time during the Halloween time, during all of October, I would just put that on, and I would watch her in the traffic department just dancing, bopping her head to that. So we'll hear that Silver Shamrock TV theme. But we also have the voiceover, too. It's time, that whole thing. I play that whole thing, too. Who requested the Silver Shamrock?
That's coming to us from our good pal, Steve.
All right, Steve. Nice job. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here in the Skyline Studio until 5 a.m. Hey, right after the 4:30 news, get yourself ready. You got to know your onion. You got to know whether these news headlines are real or are they from the satirical newspaper, The Onion, and they're not real. We'll have two callers. They'll call in, and they will be our two players. They will each play a lone round. Tom's your host. He'll read those news headlines. You got to guess whether they're real or from The Onion, and you win. That's what it works. That's come up after 4:30. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And we are talking about Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson, 57 years ago yesterday, took over for Jack Parr and hosted three decades of unbelievable television with The Tonight Show. And many of those episodes, many of those decades, you can see on Antenna TV right here in Chicago, weeknights at 10 o'clock. And it's just a treasure trove of awesome things. And you should definitely check out those reruns. So we're remembering Johnny Carson on that anniversary of him taking over for Jack Parr 57 years ago. If you can believe that, it was 57 years ago. We're talking about some great memories from Johnny Carson, the best guests, the best gets, our favorite moments. 312-981-7200. Okay, before the break, I was setting up the whole broken cigarette box thing. This involves Don Rickles. So, like I said before, Johnny used to take Monday nights off. He took a Monday night off. Bob Newhart was your special guest host. One of the guests was Don Rickles. Rickles was doing a bit. He broke Johnny's cigarette box, which is a legendary cigarette box that he had for years that was always on his desk. And he broke it. He broke the box, and then something happened afterwards, which we'll tell you about, because Johnny came back on Tuesday. He was off on Monday. Johnny came back on Tuesday, discovered that it was broken, and there you go. Also, I just want to let everybody know that there used to be a sitcom that Don Rickles was on that was very funny, called CPO Sharky. He would tape it in front of a live studio audience right in the studio next door to The Tonight Show. That's the setup, and we'll talk a little bit more in between these bits, but here is the broken cigarette box.
This is not your land, you crazy tongue. You're not going to have the land. You stupid bell, you're not going to have the land. It's no good. This is not your land. You take
the Carson's cigarette box. Oh, my goodness, man. Corporal Carson's cigarette box.
So he just broke the box, obviously going nuts over the fact that, like, he's scared to death that he broke the box. And if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Newley was sitting next to him. So that should tell you what's going on there. Okay.
Uh-oh.
What the hell happened to this?
Well, as long as you've seen what happened.
You know how long I've had the cigarette box on his desk?
You brought that out from New York City?
I brought this from New York. What on earth?
It happened last night.
Who?
Don Rickles.
I did not see the
Don
show
Rickles
last
did it last night.
Are you putting me on now?
No. Don Rickles did it last night on the show.
What the hell did he do with it? The wood is broken. That's an heirloom.
Well,
is he in?
He hit it. He hit it with
his
hand.
Is he taping now? What?
He's taping across the hall. CPO Sharky.
Can I get over there? Can I get over there?
Okay, so that's the setup. Okay, as soon as he finds out that they're taping across the hall, they're taping CPO Sharky across the hall. He's like, I gotta get over there. So they get him a mic that he can bring over across the hall. They get him a camera and a cameraman, and then his idea is to just interrupt the taping, because he's Johnny Carson. He can do that. Interrupt the taping of CPO Sharky and confront Don Rickles about the fact that he broke his cigarette box.
Rickles, hold! Stop the taping! Stop the taping! Somebody broke my cigarette box. Come here.
I don't believe this.
Come here. just started the show. I picked my box up off my desk that I've had for 9 years. My box is broken.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Do you know how long I've had this box on the show? About 9 years. I brought this out from New York. Look at this. That is very expensive.
That's a darn shame. I'd give it to Tony Randall for a wedding gift.
And I want to know. I want to know what you plan to do about this.
Well, I plan to wrap your hand in it. What do you want from me?
I want something back. Okay, carry on.
Help me.
Carry on. Good seeing you.
Johnny Carr. They know who I am. Okay, well, wait a minute. Why do you always do that? Johnny Carson. They know who I am. Don Rickles.
It's fantastic. They know who I am. So, by the way, when he busts in on the taping, I mean, it was for real. The audience had no idea he was going to be there. He walked in. The actors that are on stage with Rickles react to the fact that Johnny Carson has just busted in on their taping. And it's just such a classic, hilarious moment. But the best is, if you watch the clip is available on YouTube. You can definitely watch it online. But you really got to watch Rickles' reaction. Because Rickles freaks out. Like, when Johnny Carson walks in, I mean, obviously, you know, it was ultimately just a bit that Johnny Carson thought would be funny to do, and they did it, and it was great. But it was a surprise to Rickles. Rickles had no idea that Carson was going to bust in there. And his reaction is so hilarious. Like, if you look at Rickles' face, his reaction to Johnny Carson busting in on the taping of CPO Sharky, it's pretty, pretty amazing. It's pretty funny. Let's see. We've got more texts here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're remembering Johnny Carson. 815 area code says, Michael Landon as a featured guest host was a favorite guest host, and Charo as a guest was always hilarious. Yeah, Michael Landon was always great on the show, too. He was great. But Charo was great on everything. Charo rules. You know, Charo, I can't remember how many times. Charo, I think, is close to holding the record for most appearances on Love Boat. If I'm not mistaken.
Was Charo the... Did she go like...
Yeah.
I think I saw that on I Love the 70s or
yeah.
something.
No,
like that.
You got to love Charo. Charo's still around.
Yeah.
Good. And she's a hell of a guitarist.
Really?
Oh, my God. Flamenco guitarist. Oh, my God. Have you never seen Charo play guitar?
No.
Oh!
I know she had... Didn't she have, like, fairly long nails, too?
Long nails, crazy long hair.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke in broken English?
Yeah.
But she was, you know, she would always mispronounce things, and that was always, you know, part of the comedy, you know, back in the politically incorrect days. But she was a hell of a guitarist. I'm not kidding. Like, an incredible musician. But she was always on because she was like, you know, she was very shapely, and she would be, Gucci, 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 Gucci. People would go nuts when she did that. She appeared on in the 70s, she was on everything. She was on every talk show. She was on game shows. She did Fantasy Island, but she was on Love Boat. I think she was on Love Boat like 7 or 8 times. Charo. And she played really varying characters. Hey, you know who else appeared on? Everybody appeared on Love Boat, by the way, in the 70s. You know, like, kind of people who were up and coming. You know who appeared on Love Boat twice? My love, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Love Boat.
On the Love Boat, man. Yeah. You know, if you do a Google search or a Wikipedia search of who has guest starred on the Love Boat and Fantasy Island, that's a 50-page document. Because that was Saturday night, man. That was Saturday night. People would stay in, you know, at that point, it would be Love Boat, Fantasy Island. That's your back-to-back ABC two-hour, you know, juggernaut. Yeah. Let's see. Mile High Max is this person's name. Thank you for sharing. Mile High Max.
Well, he might be in Denver.
Yeah, might be. 575 area code Mile High Max says, I love your show, Nick. I was in the Tonight Show audience in May of 85. Johnny, Ed, and Doc were all there. His guests that night were John Ritter and Grace Jones. It was so much fun being there. That's another question we can throw out there. Has anybody ever been to a taping? Anybody ever go out to a taping in Burbank of Carson's show? I bet that would be a blast. So... All right, we got more highlights to play here and more of our favorite moments, and we want to have memories shared with you at 312-981-7200. And then coming up after the 4:30 news, we'll break the Johnny Carson stuff for a little bit and do another edition of Know Your Onion. But let's get some weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We are talking about Johnny Carson. By the way, on Wildcard Wednesday, who requested The Kiss?
That's coming to us from Mike in Old Irving Park.
Mike in Old Irving Park requesting some classic Kiss right there for Wildcard Wednesday. Okay. Yesterday marked the 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over The Tonight Show from Jack Parr. And so we're celebrating all the great stuff that Johnny Carson did in the three decades that he hosted The Tonight Show. And you can see all of these great highlights on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 o'clock. It is just great stuff and should be watched. And it still holds up. Timeless. So we opened up the phone lines and the text lines. We want to hear from you guys. What are your favorite Johnny Carson Tonight Show memories? 312-981-7200. Also, coming up after the 4:30 news, another edition of Know Your Onion. Get ready to dial in. First two people through will be our contestants, separately playing around, guessing whether the news headlines are real or from The Onion. But let's get back to some of these highlights here. Now, we mentioned several times now Carnac the Magnificent, which was probably my favorite recurring bit that Johnny Carson did. Always funny. The byplay between him and Ed, the jokes that would repeat, always funny. The insults that he would throw at the audience for not laughing at one of his jokes. Just the bit in general. And again, like I said, he comes out with the big turban on and the cape. Every time he trips before he's going to sit down, I laughed. It's probably my favorite of all the Carson recurring bits. So we got a little Carnac here to give you an example of how great Carnac the Magnificent magnificent was. Let's listen to a little bit of Carnac right here.
1776, 1812, and 1945. Name three adjoining rooms at the Century Plaza. Carnac on roll. This audience would laugh at Dinosaur backing into a meat thermometer. Three dog night. What's a bad night for a tree?
That's a little example of that. Carnac on roll. Oh, man. Okay, now I guess this would have to be, you know, when highlights are talked about for Carnac, and I have many highlights. I mean, I could, you know, I can't tell you the number of times that I have laughed my butt off really loudly and consistently for however long the bit is, 6-7 minutes of Carnac. But this is probably the one that's the go-to for an example of one of the greatest Carnac the Magnificent moments of all time. This is the one that, like, if you were a regular viewer of Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show, and you're listening to this right now, and I say one of the classic, if not the classic, Carnac moments, you know exactly where we're going with this. You know exactly the bit I'm talking about. So here it is.
Blood sugar.
Blood sugar.
That's what I said. What should a vampire cut down on when he's on a diet? May a toothless yak gum your grandmother's wheat thins. Sis boom ba.
Sis boom ba.
Describe the sound made when a sheep explodes.
Classic. Sis boom ba. That's the one that everybody goes to, man. Sis Boomba. Describe the sound it makes when a sheep explodes. Oh, man, that is just classic. Ugh. All right, 312-981-7200. What are your favorite moments on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson moments that we're remembering? 815, oh, here's a good one. We've got this one. 815 area code says, the night that Ed McMahon showed up plastered was hilarious. Yeah, they would, you know, as you know, they would tape it like 5:30, and Ed had like a martini lunch. He went out they had like a rehearsal and a, you know, and stuff like that, and he went out and he got a little, and Ed was known for his drinking, as was Johnny. Johnny was a massively big drinker off the air. But Ed, on air, that was a bit that they would play up a lot. Ed's drinking was always a running gag. Always a running gag. But in real life, Johnny was a big boozer, like a big time boozer, and it affected his life. It was an issue with him. But they never made a bit out of it on the air. Ed was a boozer off the air, but it was a huge bit on the air. And he would do live commercials. By the way, they would have live commercials in studio, and Ed was always like doing Budweiser commercials. He would do Alpo commercials. Both Ed, they would cut to the stage, and there would be a can of Alpo and a dog on the stage. And, you know, and Ed McMahon, like, pouring Alpo into a live on the show while there's a dog. And then sometimes they couldn't control the dog. The dog would run off stage, was supposed to be there eating Alpo, and didn't. But anyway, Ed was a bit of a, he had some cocktails. One night he showed up, decided, you know, like, he had a few bunch of cocktails, came out on the show, didn't think anybody was going to notice. And so this is what happened.
Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions and little baby lions were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I'm
also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
That's just hilarious because it's like everybody, not, you know, everybody knew that he was bombed. He wasn't fooling anybody. And it goes on longer than that, but like he was just visibly smashed. There's just no question about it. Oh man. All right. Another text here. 816 area code says, hey, Nick, another bit you may remember. Johnny would be the narrator of a fictional soap opera where the camera would land on some unsuspecting audience member and he would make some outrageous comment about them and then connect them to the next person like they were having a torrid affair. The fictional town was Sludge Falls. The title of the soap opera was The Edge of Wetness. The Edge of Wetness. Also a great bit involving the audience. And they didn't know. The camera would pop onto them. And Johnny would read a description of what kind of character this person is playing and who they're having an affair with. And it killed. The Edge of Wetness killed all the time. It was fantastic. It was a great bit. Also, you surely must have the audio of Johnny talking to Dolly Parton. When the attention turns to her ample bosom, his response is, I'd give a year of my salary just to take a peek. Do we have that? We'll play that? We'll find that. We'll find it. We'll play it after the news. But yeah, no, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Dolly Parton on the show, and Johnny, how much he would give up to take a look. 406 area code says Zsa Zsa Gabor was great with her cat on her lap. Oh my God, yes. Well, that's a. I don't know if we can. That's a. That would be like a Friday. That would be like a straight out of context bit. Because he says something. you know what, Tom? While we're in the news, watch it off the air. I don't think we can play it. But if you just Google Zsa Zsa Gabor, Johnny Carson cat on her lap, or something to that effect, Yeah. So anyway, he says something. I totally forgot about that. Thank you, 406 area code, for reminding me of that. I totally forgot about that bit. I totally forgot about what he said. Okay. All right. Here's the deal. Call in right now if you want to be a part, win some prizes, and you want to be a part of Know Your Onion. If you know, you can tell the difference between a real news headline and a fake comedy headline, the difference between real news and the onion. Call now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. First two people through will be our two contestants for Know Your Onion. 312-981-7200. One of my all-time favorite songs and my favorite Todd Rundgren song of all time. That song rules. Who requested the Todd?
So that's going to us from Kathy, and it's worth mentioning that she specifically wanted to hear that version with Daryl Hall.
Oh!
Live from Daryl Hall's house.
That's live from Daryl Hall's house.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. Man, I love that song. That's a good song. You know how you make that song better? Add Daryl Hall.
Boom.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to get back to some of our Johnny Carson memories in honor yesterday of the 57th anniversary of him taking over The Tonight Show and handling it beautifully for three decades. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, we've got our two contestants. It's time for Know Your Onion. Know Your Onion is a game show that we have here. Tom is the host. What happens is we get a contestant. They come on. Tom reads some news headlines, and you have to guess if you know the difference between a real news headline and an onion headline. And it's a very weird time in the world. Sometimes it's hard to navigate between the real and the unreal. But we'll do it. All right, shall we begin with the opening here with the 60,000 people coming into the room?
It's time to Know Your Onion.
Gotta love the band.
It's top class.
You can't get a better band.
It's Doc Severinsen's brother.
Doc Severinsen's brother. That's right. All right, we are here, and it's time for Know Your Onion. Let's get our contestants on. Here's Tony on WGN. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Sis Boomba.
Yeah, you got it. Sis Boomba. Exactly. You know what the onion is, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you have to guess. Is this news
I'll do
headline?
My best, Nick.
Okay, news headline. You got to guess the best out of five. You got to get three correct out of five that'll be read to you. So, Tony, here we go.
All right, Tony, here comes your first headline, but first, let's get this music going. All right. Here we go. First headline: a 70-year-old man is worried he's running out of time to have kids. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go with real.
Let's see.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, that is The Onion, sir.
Wow.
Let me take a peek.
That's you know, that's kind of strange considering that Alec Baldwin keeps having kids and yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Your next headline. Let's hop on over to a little entertainment news. R. Kelly's lawyer is complaining that the singer can only visit with one of his girlfriends at a time. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Oh, man. Gotta be An Onion.
Let's find out. No, that is very real.
That's absolutely, absolutely real. R. Kelly is upset that he can't visit with both of his girlfriends at the same time while he's in prison. That's absolutely true. Now, Tony, you got to get this next one right or else we have to send you to Sing Sing.
I am, Nick. I'm trying.
All right, here we go.
All right, your next headline. Aliens may have bugged space rocks to spy on Earth, scientist says. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go with The Onion.
Let's see.
No, God! No, God! Please, no! 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 No!
Oh, that is very real.
Tony, you're out.
I'm out. I tried that.
Yeah. All right, listen, hold on, though, Tony, because nobody goes away empty-handed. Even though you didn't get any of them right, three in a row, you struck out. We're going to get you a desktop indoor weather station. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. All right? Hang on, Tony.
Thank you, Nick.
Got to hang on, buddy. All right. Tony, hang on. He's got himself a desktop indoor weather station. Nobody's a loser, and that's a fantastic prize. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. All right. Let's see if we can get a winner next, okay? Here's our second contestant. John is in Alsip on WGN. Hi, John.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right. All right. So you're familiar with The Onion, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see if you can do better than Tony did. All right, you got to get the best of five. Tom, whenever you are ready.
Okay, John, your first headline here. Authorities theorize that Santa Anita racetrack deaths could be the work of a horse serial killer. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to have to go The Onion.
Let's see.
Sean Wick.
Yes. Very good.
Very nice job.
Awesome.
A horse serial killer?
Hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. They could make a movie out of that.
Oh, yeah. It's a really weird sequel to Seabiscuit.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, you good. One for one, John. Very good. Here we go.
All right. Let's go to a little news out west. A woman attacked by a bison was with a man who was previously attacked by a bison. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That one is crazy enough to sound real. I'm going to say real.
Very
good. That would have been my logic, too. So this guy was attacked by a bison?
Yeah, she was attacked by a bison while she was with a man who had also been attacked by a bison.
So this is the second time being attacked by a bison?
That's two for two on the bison.
So this guy's got to stay away from where bison are. Don't you think that this guy might want to steer clear? Well, I didn't even... I'm sorry. I didn't even. Honest to God. I did not mean. I swear to you, I did not. That just as soon as the word steer came out of my mouth, I went, oh, man, I am a moron. Yeah, he should steer clear of bison, I would guess. Wow. That's crazy. That is a crazy story. All right, John, you're two for two, my friend. Two for two. One more. And it's not two for Tuesday, it's two for you day.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
I don't even know what the hell's going on. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, let's get to a little science here. A study says that 84% of couples who walk around exploring a new neighborhood never make it home. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I have to go Onion on that one.
Well, let's see.
Oh, I like that.
Nice. Yes. Wow. Wow. Well, how many percentage did they say?
84%.
Oh, man. Look at this. Look at this. John bet 1,000. He went 3 for 3. Tony betted 0. He went 0 for 3. So we had the complete opposite here. Now, John, you're a winner, my friend.
That's great.
Good
Fantastic.
Job. Three in a row. You got Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or you order online at loumalnati's.com. Loumalnati's.com. John, thank you, buddy. Thanks for playing. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Love the show. Love
thank you,
segment,
man.
Guys.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Day.
Hang on, okay? Make sure you hang on.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's John from Alsip. And once again, we will do it again next week. So, yeah, make sure that you tune in for that. All right, let's get back to some of this Johnny Carson stuff. We've got more audio to play, more highlights, and we want to hear from you if you've got some memories that you want to share with us. Yesterday marked the... 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over the Tonight Show from Jack Parr. He did it for three decades and has left behind so many amazing bits and moments and beautiful stuff. And again, as we've reminded you throughout the show, that you definitely should check out Antenna TV if you don't normally on a regular basis. Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m. They show classic Johnny Carson Tonight Show episodes, and it's fantastic. So make sure you tune in for that, and you'll get to see some of the stuff we've been talking about and some of the highlights that we've been sharing. And if you want to jump in with any of your Tonight Show or Johnny Carson memories, your favorite bits, 312-981-7200. Got a text here from the 219 area code. I asked – oh, yeah. And by the way, I threw out there in case anybody was in was at a taping. If you've ever attended a taping of the Tonight Show, we would love to hear from you. The 219 area code says, I was at two tapings, early 80s with Johnny, which was great. And then the same day the Challenger blew up, Joan Rivers hosted. She didn't do a monologue. She said the occasion didn't call for being funny, but the show did go on. So there it is. Boy, that would have been interesting to be at a taping like that, like a sort of historical tragedy that happens like that. And but she did not do a monologue. So I would have loved to have gone to a taping to see Johnny in action. It'd be great. Some other favorite Johnny Carson moments that we've got to. One of them is Hamlet the Huckster. I don't know if people remember Hamlet the Huckster. This was a one-time bit. A lot of these characters that they do over and over again, like Art Fern and Aunt Blabby and Karnak the Magnificent, these were, you know, characters that we all knew and loved because they were done many, many times on the show. And, we got to watch them over and over again and love the antics and the bits that they would do. But this is a one-off. I don't know if people remember this or not, but it was Hamlet the Huckster. Hamlet the Huckster is a classic. It's a classic sketch. Carson recites Shakespeare's famous "to be or not to be" soliloquy from Hamlet, only to pause after every few lines to hawk sleeping aids and other products. It's a really, really funny bit. A very, very funny bit. Hamlet the Huckster. So he's doing Hamlet, taking it all seriously, but then suddenly is like doing commercials and plugging really stupid products and other things. And that was another thing that he was really great at. Then there was the moment where one of the other memorable moments, a sad moment, a tragic moment that he shared with the audience was every moment on The Tonight Show isn't always about comedy. In 1991, during his first show after his son Rick died in a car accident, Carson took a few moments to eulogize him. And he said, quote, "I'm not doing this to be mawkish. Believe me," he said. "Rick was an exuberant young man, fun to be around, and he tried so hard to please. You'll have to forgive a father's pride in these pictures." And then he showed a series of photographs, some of which were taken by Rick. I remember that moment vividly, absolutely vividly. Okay, we got some more moments to play. We got some more audio to play back, and we'll do that. And we're remembering Johnny Carson on what is the day after the anniversary of him taking over for Jack Parr. I'm an irradiator. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN on Wild Card Wednesday. You've been Wild Card Wednesday. Hey, who requested that one?
I believe it is a Jewel employee by the name of Nick DiGilio.
Oh, that's right. My dad requested that song. a really great version of that song is done by Patrick Swayze. And you can see that in Ghost. He does it to drive Whoopi Goldberg nuts. So my dad requesting a little Hermit's Hermits right there on WGN. We'll do Wild Card Wednesday again next week. Hey, coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. 6 o'clock coming up is Steve Cochran with the opening, your morning drive. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. Okay, we've been celebrating the fantastic memories and bits and wonderful things that Johnny Carson has done. Yesterday was the 57th anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over for Jack Parr for The Tonight Show. And so we've been talking about it. I'm a huge Johnny Carson fan. I watch all the reruns all the time on Antenna TV, and I love it. And it's just great. I love it. I love all the bits. Always did. Grew up watching him. And I just, I love the guy. Absolutely love him. And so we've been playing some great bits back and talking about your favorite memories and your favorite moments at 312-981-7200. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you been?
You know, your dad stole one of my future Wild Card Wednesday picks.
Oh, that one right there?
Yes.
That's a heck of a song. Leave it to my dad to steal that from you.
Anyway, September of 1970, early September, first time they had Don Rickles and Little Richard on the Carson show together. It was hilarious.
Man. Oh, I can imagine. So I get like on the couch together?
Yes. Oh, yes, my God. Yes. and both ragging on each other. They tried to repeat it later on, but just, you know, wasn't as good as the first time.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I have not been able to find that on YouTube. I've been looking for that clip.
Yeah, well, you know, I would love to find that. The first time that Don Rickles is sitting there, I can't imagine what he said to Little Richard. I can't even imagine.
Little Richard saying to him.
Yeah. That sounds like classic TV right there.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Very cool. All right, Mike, have a great day, buddy.
All right, Nick, you too, man.
There you go. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to jump in with your memories about Johnny Carson. There's so many more. Okay, well, one of the classic memories that whenever they would have the anniversary shows, and they would do the anniversary shows all the time, there was always the moment with Ed Ames and the Tomahawk. They were throwing the Tomahawk at what appeared to be like a... you know, an outline of a man on a wooden wall, and Ed Ames threw the Tomahawk, and it just, boom, right in the crotch. And it looked pretty ridiculous, with the handle of the axe, handle of the Tomahawk, like, kind of sticking out. You couldn't have planned it better. Like, you couldn't have planned it better where that Tomahawk landed and how quickly it happened. And you got to keep in mind what happens when you hear this, because we're going to play the audio, but when you hear it, and I'm sure that you've seen this clip, because if you've seen any sort of best of tonight shows or any of the anniversary shows, you've seen this. So when you hear that bump, just realize that it hit the outline, the man's outline in the crotch, and it looked a little suggestive. Let's just say that. So here's Ed Ames and the Tomahawk, classic bit.
What is the trick on it? It's underhanded?
No.
Overhanded.
It's an overhand throw. The trick is to keep your arm extended, and that way you break the microphone. You know, you keep your arm extended and put only one revolution on the...
Once around
on the way. But that's indefinite.
All right. Right.
Come on now. Come on. How quick is that? How do you boom like that? He goes to that joke. Everybody's seen that bit, by the way. You know, I mean, it was 65. It was right before I was born. That happened in 65. I think it was like April 65. I was born in July. So that was even before I was born. And I've seen that. I must have seen that clip 9,000 times. Because, like I said, it's one of the most popular clips that they show on the anniversary shows. Okay, as we mentioned before, Fran Tate, who was friends with Steve and Johnny, who passed away just a couple of months ago, unfortunately, she was a lovely lady, appeared on Johnny Carson's show as a real person, quote-unquote real person, as not a celebrity, who might have had an interesting story. Well, one woman appeared on Johnny's show. She worked in a potato chip factory, and she would inspect the potato chips as they went down the line. And if they were not ready, or they were overcooked, or they didn't look appetizing, they were taken off the line and thrown away. Well, she collected many of them because some of them looked like objects or looked like people. Like, she had one that looked like Abraham Lincoln. She had another that looked like animals. She had one that looked like a bird. And so she would collect her big collection, and she was very, very, very proud of this collection of potato chips. So she showed up on Johnny's show, showing off all of her potato chips to the camera. This one looks like Abraham Lincoln. This one looks like this. And unbeknownst to her, Johnny had a regular bowl of potato chips, not from her collection, just a regular bowl of potato chips that he'd hidden from her. And so when she would show him the potato chips, you know, he would put them down on the desk, and they would all be on the desk. And the bowl of potato chips was like under the desk next to him, the regular potato chips, not hers. And so at one point you'll hear this. She pulls out a bunch of her prized possessions, and she loves these potato chips, been collecting them for years, and is very proud of them. At one point she looks away to get another potato chip, and she hears crunch, Johnny eating a potato chip, which he took from the regular potato chips to fool her. And he starts chewing on the potato chip, and she hears it, and she turns around and sees him kind of chewing, and she's completely mortified. Like, completely, utterly mortified. Like, oh my God, this is my life's work, and you just ate one of them, or you just ate a bunch of them. And she was double-checking them on the desk to make sure everything was okay. And it got so bad that Johnny finally pulled the plug on the bit. Like, it didn't last very long. You'll hear this. Because he felt so terrible. He was like, he had to reassure her that it wasn't indeed one of her prized chips. So let's listen to this with the potato chip lady.
What do we have here? What's that?
Oh, this is a calf, but he doesn't have any eyes.
But that does look like the head of a
calf. The shape of a cow or a calf.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a...
That's an eight.
That's an eight.
That's a letter. Uh-huh. Number eight.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of apples and pears and pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Potato chips.
Potato chips, okay.
And,
look at this one, John.
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't... Excuse me. God. Poor Myrtle thought I was eating her collection. No, they had a bowl back here of just regular chips. And I had one of those. I wasn't picking up your...
There you go. Okay, from the final episode, Bette Midler serenaded him. And let's listen to that. This is everybody cries when they hear this. Here's Bette Midler.
Well, that's how it goes. And John, I know you're getting anxious to close. So thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind me bending your ear. For the class that you showed, make it one for my baby and one more for the road.
Yeah, not a dry eye in the house. I'll never forget watching that. Never forget watching it. Johnny Carson, three decades hosting the Tonight Show. Yesterday was the 57th anniversary of him taking over from Jack Parr, and we just wanted to celebrate that right here on WGN. Hey, listen, coming up tomorrow, we'll be back tomorrow. Dan Feinberg is going to join us for his biweekly visit. We're going to talk about TV, Triple Play Thursday, and much more.